do have plenty in this house. So you are honored. Let me also greet the media. You know what? In this committee, when we are not here, there's no media. They do remember that there's a sport and recreation when Iraq is with us. I don't know why. We do appreciate, because we're not the committee always having the media people. So when we are around, we know that the media is going to be around. Honorable members, let me take this opportunity to thank everybody who's in time. You know that by this time, I can sometimes not even having a quorum of my own members because of the local government. But I do have loyal leaders in this committee, irrespective of what party. They know that legislation comes first and then our organization next. Let me thank honorable members to be all here. As I'm sitting here, I don't have any apologies. I do understand that some parties are not here. Maybe they are on their way, but with me officially, I don't have apologies as I'm sitting here. Unless Unonaba is having apologies, no apologies. Sometimes when we are saying that in the plenary, saying that you were not even in the committee, people they will be claiming that no. So I'm saying live that I don't have any apologies. My agenda or our agenda today, I will be presenting to the committee meeting. First and foremost, we've invited a very important stakeholder, which is SA Rugby Union. I'm suspecting that we do have others whom we wanted that they must be present when the mother board is presenting. They will be listening. They are not going to present anything, but will entertain the clarifications. If any clarifications we want to hear from those guests of the mother body and to us. The agenda is SA Rugby Union 2015 annual report financials. Point two, performance at 2015 Rugby World Cup. Number three, preparation for the Sevens for Rio 2016. The update on EPT's issue. Last time we came across it on the papers when we were doing our own oversight, we didn't entertain because we were not knowing what is this. So I stopped members. Now this is an opportunity to you, Saru, to give us the update on this. Sometimes as this chairperson, I don't want to talk about papers news. I want the responsible party to come and brief us in order that we must be informed. That's why we have put it here in the agenda. The last one, status of governance and transformation in the provincial unions. As we're taking the oversight, we do get some information which we want that we must compare the information that we've got from the oversight to you as a union, a mother body. Once you have a mother body, I can't see mothers here with you. I feel like, hey, they are still trying to prepare lunch and dinner for ourselves when we're going back home. We've taken women back to the kitchen. Can you see, if we are this right, you are elderly leaders, I can't say this boys choir, because I'll be saying we are boys. let me take this opportunity also to welcome our former member of this committee, which I was not chairing it then, former Honorable Mackenzie. The other members, they don't know you. Can you stand up and wave? I've been told that you were a good member of this committee. Yeah, Moses confirming, these two officials are confirming, but some of us, which were also in Parliament then, we know you. Honourable members, anything that you want to put in the on the agenda? You may think that at least we have one female delegate. Malbong, it's like a woman, it's like a rock. Keep it up. A proposal of acceptance of agenda. Honorable Bergman.
Thanks, Chair. So we accept the agenda, but is it possible to also get an introduction to all our visitors, please, at some stage? Thanks.
Okay. After we have accepted the agenda, I will get there that they must introduce themselves. So I'll do that. Any seconder? Honorable Beth.
Good morning. Thank you, Chairperson. I second. Thank you.
In front of me, I do have the list of SARU delegation led by the President. Can President give us the entire delegation present today? And after that, I'll be going to ask that the provincial rugby unions President Bubu's rugby union will do so after the President of SARU. And I give you that moment of giving us, Your Honorable, the President of SARU.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. As is customary for us, let me greet all. Dumelang, Molweni, Anmonani, Khuyamwara. Good morning.
Morning.
Madam Chair and esteemed members of the Sports Portfolio Committee of Parliament, our National Parliament, it is indeed a privilege and a pleasure to once again come here and engage with our political leadership. Not only do we see this as an opportunity to present our credentials and to say where we are in terms of us as a federation and as a sport in our society, but we also see this as an opportunity to learn and engage from our political leadership. And we see this as an opportunity that we as a sport can perhaps in a way use this as a barometer in terms of whether we're on track, off track, or whether we have no tracks. Madam Chair, it is indeed a privilege for me to present my delegation to you. We have been invited as provincial unions, and unfortunately not all the presidents of the 14 unions could attend. There are five that aren't here, but I will certainly present the ones that are here. So if I could start off first with the SARU people. To my right, the gentleman with the grey hair and the spectacles is the Deputy President. I don't know why you're laughing. It's a sign of modernity, Mr. Sultan. Mr. Mark Alexander, Mr. the Vice President, Mr. James Hoffberg, is also to my right. Thank you. Please, you can just put up your hands and I'll read the names on the list to be easier. Mr. Yuri Roo, Chief Executive Officer. Yuri, this needs no introduction, so he's seated to my right. Mr. Francois Davis is an executive member. If you could just put up your hands and call out your names, please, gentlemen. Thanks. Mr. Patty.
Patty's not here.
Okay, Patty's not here. Apologies. Mr. Toby Titus. Mr. Mervyn Green is the General Manager, Strategic Performance Management. Andy Kaloon, General Manager, Corporate Affairs. Mr. Kaya Maedwa, Senior Manager, Government and Stakeholder Relations. And Mrs. Samantha McDonald, who's seated over there, Administrator E-Filing. Thank you, sir. You saved us today, otherwise I think we would have all been arrested by Madam Chair for not having female. We are working on that, Madam, we can assure you. It is work in progress. We are looking seriously at the gender representation issue as an organization. As far as the provincial rugby unions are concerned, Mr. Kat Wessels from the Bulls Union, Mr. Ivan Pekia from Borland, in place of Mr. Watson from the Eastern Province is Mr. Ferry Makoki, Mr. Kevin Dutton of the Golden Lions Rugby Union. You've already mentioned him, but I'll do it again. Mr. Graham McKenzie of the KwaZulu-Natal Rugby Union. Mr. Hein Mintz of the Mpumalanga Rugby Union. Mr. Henny Bartman of the Southwestern Districts Rugby Union. Mr. Vivian Lodging of the Falker Rugby Union. And then we also have gentlemen from the Bulls, Madam, the CEO, Baron van Graal, and Eugene, Dr. Hare is CEO of the union, CEO of the company and CEO of the union, respectively, certainly of the Bulls. So we're thankful that the Bulls offered to come in numbers. We appreciate that as a federation to the Bulls. So, Madam, that is the delegation that is here, and we thank you for allowing us to be here today.
Thank you, the President. Let me take this opportunity to welcome you all. We are a wonderful South African that we are looking forward to work with you. You must bear in mind that this is a committee of sport. When they want an engagement and ask questions, don't feel offended. I'll protect you if you are abusing our platform. But I'm suspecting that we are happy that at last you are here. You have been apologizing because of the commitment of you, which some of our commitments you were aware of. Thank you that today we are with you. I don't know why you are doing this.
Honourable Sultan. Yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. My understanding was that according to what the President said, was that the unions were expected to be here, but some could make it. Could there be any reasons offered for that, or would that form part of the presentation? Think about the very home province here, not being the President. Thanks, sir. This is my little concern about that, before we proceed. Yes.
Thank you, Honourable Sultan. Any responses?
Madam Deputy, thank you very much. In terms of all of these residents, they do all have another job as well. They are elected presidents. Some of them are in court today. For instance, if you look at May, president of Leopards Rugby Union, he's got to be in the High Court in Johannesburg and can't get out of that environment. Western Province, I know, have got a workshop with their new CEO and are away for the day. So there's various reasons for some of the residents not being there. Mr. Lindsay Mole from the Cheetahs flight got cancelled at 20:07 last night and could not get on a flight in time. He was supposed to get in and made an apology at that time. So there's various reasons why they are not here. So we basically got five unions not present at the moment.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. I don't want to hop on the issue, but is it does that mean that the other unions are not represented at all by the absence of the representation? There's no individual representing them or otherwise. Thanks.
That's correct, Madam Chair. They are not represented, but I'm pretty sure that we will be able to answer most of their questions, and if not so, we'll obviously come back to the committee on any questions that we're not able to answer.
Honourable members, when I was opening this meeting, I was saying that I don't have apologies from the very same members of committee, that I don't have apologies. This is a very good question that you have raised, but those news themselves, they were supposed to do a catch of writing to the person apologizing. If they are not here, even their mother body, in some of them, are not knowing, will take the chance of asking them why we're not here, why we're not apologizing. First and foremost, they must apologize to the chairperson, even to the president. If we don't have any apology, let's start our meeting, you are noting your concerns, and then from there, let's start our business of today. Can I call somebody who's going to present the annual report of 2015, which is the finances of Zeno? Who's that?
It's me, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Over to you, sir.
In terms of annual report, just Madam Chair, we did present a full presentation to you in terms of the deadlines of the committee 7 days ago. We do apologize. We've added or amended one or two things. The rugby is a constantly changing environment. We've had matches over the weekend. We've had a 7 series, etc., which influences the rankings. So we had to make some changes in terms of it. But bulk of the presentation is as was delivered to you in time. On the annual report of 2015, you will see that we were able to have a very good financial year, and we had a pre-tax surplus of about 33 million. On a turnover that is close to a billion rand for the year. We once again have got an unqualified audit for the fifth year going, and also a surplus for the fifth year going in terms of South African rugby. That is a very strategic move in terms of our finance committee, and also the decision taken by the EXCO that we should be in a position where we have ample reserves should we have a year where we need to tap into those reserves. For instance, if you default any sponsors or anything like that, it is just good corporate and financial business. In terms of our national teams, last year the Springboks third, the Springboks seventh, second, the junior Springboks third, and the Springbok women's 12th in the world. Our strategic transformation plan was published in conjunction with SASCOC and the Department of Sports and Rec, and we signed MOU with both those entities. Cape Town Sevens was a massive success. We've got record crowds, and we had an independent economic impact study that was delivered to us about 2 weeks ago, and the direct and indirect economic impact to the city of Cape Town was 539 million, which is up about 300 million from what we had in Port Elizabeth. And within the current rankings, every team and every union in the world ranks the Sevens, and up until the weekend, we are still ranked the number one 7 program for this year. In terms of our own development within our entities, purely from a technical point of view, we have started to go into an homegrown approach, and we've developed our own match analysis software, which is called Strata's own active management system, which is called Footprint, and an online management system, e-filing, for South African rugby as a whole. It's rolled out to the unions, and Samantha, who is pretty much the owner of that, will talk more towards e-filing and Footprint at a later stage, but it means that each and everything within the South African rugby environment is an online process where both reapplication and delivery, you do everything online. Our rugby safety program, very important in these days. There is a very, very definite move towards safety within the rugby environment. With all the parents that are very worried about the kids playing a complex sport, and in that environment, our BoxMark program is doing very, very well and very well supported by sponsors, and have given us great success. Our Springbok experience, which is our rugby museum, which is just around the corner from here, was named in the top 1% of global attractions by TripAdvisor. Our Getting to Rugby program, of which both Mervyn and Samantha is also the owners, has huge success on rugby development, especially in primary schools, and we will show you those numbers at a later stage. And then a corporate social investment program. We've basically got two. The one is the Chris Berger Paid Action Fund in terms of disability, and disability specific to people that got injured. And then our other project owned by Kaya over there is our Box for Books, and we opened three libraries in 2015 in the disadvantaged communities. So that basically the highlights from the annual report. In terms of the financials, you will see that we've got a focus on the spend component rather than the income component. If you want to look at the income component for 2015, on sponsorship level, around about 41%, on broadcasting level, around about 39%, and the rest of it is made up through licensing, royalties, government grants, World Rugby grants, etc. So that basically the split. Normally that type of split at the end of the cycle, in this new cycle, which is 2016, in the new broadcasting component, the broadcasting will typically go up to about 50-52%, and it goes down over time. In terms of our spend, just on sponsorship, rights of delivery, 15%, development in women's rugby, 15%, our elite player development program, which is we've got four levels of, which we rolled out basically on four different elite player components. The one is just getting kids to play sport, and then hopefully once they start playing sport and getting active within the school environment, that they choose rugby. The second, pretty much beyond that, up into primary, to the primary environment, and then from primary to under 16, which is a very big focus to us, and then from under 16 to under 20. Those are our four elite player development phases. In terms of marketing and admin, 10%. Allocation to our member unions, 21% at the end of 2015 cycle, which has increased significantly for 2016. Delivering all of the competitions is 13%, and then the national team costs, all of the national teams that would be from our elite programs on the 16 straight through to the Springboks is 24%. So basically the spend for SARU in the 2015 year. In terms of our governance, we do have a looming deadline in terms of geopolitical alignment, which is the end of 2016. The process has begun at the union level with pilot project in the Poland and among the districts. It's been a very, very successful program. We have to participate in terms of the 52 municipalities, as you all know very well. We are already in all 52 of those municipalities, and we do have rugby in each and every environment. We're now aligning our club competitions in that direction, and then obviously playing our amateur competitions within that environment. We've adopted the constitutional amendment in 2014 based on our discussions with SASCOC and the requirements for SASCOC in terms of your re-registering as a member of SASCOC. As you all know, we had to go through a process. At the end of 2014, we're actually going back to SASCOC very soon to have a follow-up meeting on where do we stand on each and every one of the criteria to fulfill our re-registering as a member of SASCOC. So we adopted the necessary constitutional amendment in terms of due alignment, and we need to have our process completed by the 31st of December 2016. We've got a number of options on the table that we will workshop through our executive council, and then obviously go to our members, who are just sitting next to you and behind me, and we've got a workshop with our members on how we will ensure that we adhere to the geopolitical alignment by our deadline. Then probably the glaring one in terms of our current environment, Limpopo as a province is not there as a separate union as it stands at the moment. All of the structures are already in place in Limpopo, and it's being mentored by the Blue Bulls as it stands. Amateur rugby structures are already geopolitically aligned, and they are participating within their amateur structures. Blue Bulls are providing the technical and financial support for Limpopo to survive. Limpopo team appeared last year in 2015 within the senior rugby. They are also in the junior rugby in the 20 championships for 2016. Currently, the Limpopo structure that stands within the union is not financially nor technically secure to operate as a fully fledged member of South African rugby, and they will be phased into the process, understand the rules and regulations of SASCOC and the geopolitical demarcation. We understand what we need to do with Limpopo, and understand where we need to net out. So we'll do that through a process and in conjunction with one of our member unions, being the Blue Bulls Rugby Union. In terms of our transformation plan, although not on the agenda, other than within the bigger component of the unions itself,
This is a very public process for us. We have signed a MOU with government. We yesterday received a notice in terms of the next meeting of report back on from the EPT group, which will happen on Monday, where we and four other unions will listen to the report back on, which is the 2014 numbers. So we have just reported on 2015 already, and we just ended in the first quarter of 2016 as well in terms of that alignment. So national, the transformation plan as it stands up into those nine elements, and I'm going to hand that over to the champion of that transformation plan and the individual that is driving that within our structures, which is Mercury.
Go on. Thank you, Yuri. Thank you, Madam Chair, for the opportunity. As Yuri alluded to the fact that the Minister of Sport instituted the EPG Committee about 2 years ago, and all national federations are then monitored in terms of the scorecard and barometer of these nine elements that you see in front of you. So what we have done in year one, we have completed the first year of implementation of a five-year plan up to 2019, and this is the achievements against our targets that we set ourselves as an organization for 2015, and it is in the following categories. Start off with the national demographics, as you can see for yourself, that we have achieved on a generic black component almost all the aspects, the subcommittees, it's only the General Council where we fall short with a few percentages, but we have achieved most of our targets on that one. And then also on the National Administration for the Black African component, we have achieved and even to a certain extent overachieved some of our targets on those categories. As you also alluded to the fact that we are failing in women into all our structures, It is coming, and the 2016 results will look far better than what you've seen currently that we report on 2013, and then that also applies to the disabled component in our administration structures. I think the most important dimension that everyone in the country is actually interested in, and that's the demographic profile of our national and provincial teams in our competitions. And we are proud to report on what we have achieved in 2015. You see in front of you the generic male team, that is the national teams for the Springboks, the junior Springboks, the seven Springboks, and the under-18s, all played in international competitions during the season of 2015, and that was our achievement in terms of all of those. You can see only the national team that fell short in terms of what we set ourselves as a target, and the rest of all exceeded the targets. The field demographics absolutely is no problem to us. We've been actually blessed with a lot of black players playing in our local competitions. We then give them access to the national teams, so therefore our women's national team is actually well transformed, both generic black and African black. Then most important is the technical and support staff to the national teams, your medical personnel, first like the first years, the doctors, the biokineticists, and the game analysts. We all achieved our target in terms of that. So we're just going to allow you a small insight on what we have achieved in terms of that.
Like objectives allow me an opportunity to run a powerful agency and the work here is option future open player and commonwealth. Okay, so not in the front line, if we can qualify, and we should like to say that in this, not only the women's sector, you know, all over the world. So it's going to be a big sport as well.
You get to hold the whole show of the tradition for you to get in there. But what I guess it's really hard to bring more people like you. Because I have a special plan, from club to provincial and then here. So I get to see most of the original goals that and not for the rest of life in here. So they don't make it here. So I need to know how successful I am and how honored I am to actually come and part of the squad number one. So when I get to make the team even and more honored, and now I'm part of the team. Starting the game, it's a whole great fun and just now you know that the world of the team you'll come to trust you to be a free and free basketball is nothing for change. How do you teach them?
Thank you for your patience. I think this is worthwhile looking at it, what we are doing with our national women's team, and we made huge step up in terms of that. Giving over to you, who is now going to look at the technical team support staff for the Springboks.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Levin. Based on the information in front of you, as you will see, that we've achieved our targets are on medical doctors, on physiotherapists. We did not achieve our target in terms of biokineticists, nor on psychologists, and we did achieve in terms of game analysis. So we obviously putting the plans in place to rectify that in terms of our technical team. Just on the 2016 management update, which is a recent event and could not be part of your documentation because we only announced that post. Post handing you this documents last week, as you would have seen on TV. The Springbok and Junior Springbok management team is now 100% confirmed in terms of our targets for 2019 already. So we've comfortably exceeded what our agreement was with SASCOC and with Department of Sport and Rec in terms of the 50% black representation by 2019. The Springbok management team has 70% black representation in management, and the Junior Springboks have 78% black representation in management. Springbok team management, Alistair Kutsia, as you all know and have heard, was the experience come through every part of the range of South African rugby, has also been in the Springbok management structures previously. Obviously an acclaimed seventh Springbok himself, captain at one stage, have come through the junior ranks and now within the super rugby structure with the Kings, and as coached on those different levels. Johan Mokhrang, second stint in terms of Springbok rugby, previously with the Blue Bulls and with a vast experience in terms of his technical abilities. Ian Swas, at one stage, high performance manager of the Blue Bulls, was the manager for the last 4 years, so he's in his second stint with there. Jerome, also vast experience within the SASCOC Olympic environment, doctor of colour chiefs, have been in our rugby structures for the last couple of years and have come through the under-20 structures, so also a very experienced individual. Dr. Tanu Pillay, also coming through the SASCOC structures, have been with the women's team, both as a physiotherapist and as a manager, and also years of experience and within the system. Vivian, physiotherapist, been with the Springbok team for a very long time, come from the Cheetahs, come from a high-performance environment, and has great experience in terms of that. Warren Adams, doctor, been with the systems, have been with South African rugby teams for the last 8 years, starting with the students team and building through the structures to the under-20s and now with the senior team. Rayan, previously a MENA manager within the SARA structures and with the Springbok team, we have a rotation policy with our media managers every 4 years, take somebody new out of our media management structures. Anne Lee, PR manager, this is now her seventh pop coach that she's working with. And then Jada Fredericks, the second student as a logistics manager and has come through the structures of SARU, has played himself, was captain of a provincial union, so also vast experience in terms of rugby knowledge and his ability. The junior senior management team, which went out about 2 weeks ago, head coach Darby Dawn, has been with the team for a long time. Trevor Bonds, very experienced manager from the Sharks, and slots into this as a small period, and will add the necessary experience from a management point of view. Nazim Adams has been there, comes from Western Province, has coached at all of the levels in Western Province Bar Super Rugby, and also a lot of experience and has been with African teams, be that SA students, under-19s, etc. Joey, very, very experienced in terms of technical abilities, less experienced in terms of coaching, but is there for a very specific reason in terms of his defense ability and is generally rated within the people within SARU as the next defensive coach, and hence the reason he's being appointed there. Chris Fenter has been with the team and is an analysis point. Rome, you will see, is still with under 20s, just for this junior world championships. We do not want to change that, as he knows all of those players and have come with that player from under 16, under 18 to under 20, and would not like to drop the junior Springboks in their final preparation as they leave for the junior world championships. Anna and Rubain, been with SA student structures, has been with SA under 18 and SA under 20, and has been the structure for a very long time. Andre Sitt has also come through for the structures, has been with our junior teams and a vastly experienced conditioning coach. And then from our own media office, Zina Isaacs, which will be all of the media out of there, and media have been with the women's team and with some of the junior teams and have now been elevated to the under 20 teams. And if you understand our planning in terms of going forward, will most likely follow up as the Springbok manager in 4 years' time. So those are the two management teams for 2016 and going forward. And then I'll just hand back to Mervyn in terms of the rest of the transformation.
Thanks for the meeting. We'll be a little bit quicker now. We move on to the transformation report. Back in terms of our report on accredited coaches and referees, we have achieved targets on both of those two categories. And then most important, as we have promised you last time when we were here, we will certainly go and have a look at what we're doing at grassroots level, and we certainly will pick up the pieces from the country. And we, especially in the primary schools, we have implemented a worldwide program now implemented across 62 countries in the world. So African Rugby Union is proud to be part of that program, and we have implemented a program that actually listed our school numbers, players into the game, which include both girls and boys. So in terms of our participation at the primary school, you can see we have achieved our target in terms of the number of schools we have provided access to for 2015. That also leading to the player numbers, which have increased dramatically since 2014 to 2015, with almost 80,000 plus players, new players to the game. And then that also leads into the number of leagues that those players are offered to play in within the 52 municipal districts. So that's basically your infrastructure in terms of the primary schools, and also facilities, as you can see, we're battling in terms of that within municipalities. So lack of facilities, and we're really trying our utmost best to secure through the local municipalities and district municipalities to support us to provide those kind of facilities for schools to play. And it was also a short insert in terms of the numbers that I've posted there in terms of the Get Into Rugby program. That's a World Rugby program which we have implemented. They can see throughout the country, within the municipal districts, we have now implemented the program, and within year two of that plan, we will now extend the program within the same schools now in 2016, and also add it on new schools for 2017. Here you can see the player numbers. In the first year of implementation, we recruited more than 80,000 players, with almost 46% of that total is girls that are now playing the game at the grassroots level. The senior schools infrastructure is pretty much the same. The growth is a little bit slower on that side. So in terms of the schools, we have just a slow growth in terms of participants. Participating schools, there's a slight increase. In terms of the participation, the players, the participants themselves, there is also a slight increase in terms of that, but at least we have achieved our targets. In terms of the leagues, we have also a very, very slight increase, but with our new program that we will roll out now in conjunction with South African Rugby Legends in 2060, I promise that this will increase tremendously in terms of the high school league program. And then also the high school, we have more high school facilities available throughout the country than what we have for primary schools. In terms of the high schools, we just want to show you once again a very short insight in terms of the school section program for high schools. This is a program that we started off in 2012 with 20 schools identified in the townships and rural areas. We have increased that to almost 40 schools now in 2015. And there you can see the program burst of potential reach of over 37,000 players and almost 500 coaches which have been trained and accredited through of the World Rugby Coaching Accreditation courses, and we hope to add another 10 schools in 2016 or 2017 to get to the margin of 50 of those schools. In terms of support that we give those schools, it's cheap equipment, technical support, we support them with funding to play in leagues. And all of that statistics are monitored and collected in our national database, whereby we have to report to the minister in terms of participation at the high school level. And we're very proud of this program, and it goes from strength to strength. We hope with the legends will even increase in terms of that. The club infrastructure is also slight increases in terms of what we have achieved. Numbers. And then also the playing numbers have increased almost 1,000 new players. And then also the leagues within the cluster of the country have increased. And then as you can see, we have recorded a much higher achievement on the facilities that we have set ourselves as targets. So you can see that our clubs, most of the clubs do have facilities. If they don't have their own facility, they utilize the municipality facilities within towns and townships. So that brings us to the end of that report. In summary, our national achievement in terms of outcomes, just to give you a brief summary. This is a dashboard which we've said to ourselves, this is how we are featured in terms of the plan that we have delivered on in 2015. If you look at the national demographics in 2014, we will end up, and we've turned that into a green robot. The National Administration for Women, we're red, we're at least moving on to amber, and hopefully by 2017 we will have also a green robot for the involvement of women in the game. Our biggest challenge ultimately is the demographics of our national team, that is the Springbok team. As you can see there, so it's both red in 2014 and 2015, and what Yuri just mentioned to you and showed to you how we are going to start a new era for the next 4 years. Hopefully, we will be there before 2019, 50% transformed. The junior national teams have been always selected on merit, and the inclusion of black players are ultimately one of our main objectives where we strive to, because this is the future of the Springbok team. So if you don't get it right here, you will never get it right on top. So there you can see ourselves in two consecutive years, we kick those boxes. The sense team, as you could quite easily see, you see it on the weekend, week after week, it's a well-transformed team, the players are performing well, currently second on World Rugby's Rock on the circuit. The National Female Team Demographics keep the boxes going green. National Technical Team Support Father Yuri just showed you now. We got it in 2014. And we got new people into the structures. And now we're ticking box in terms of what we have achieved. And then, as you can see, all our amateur rugby down the line, from coaches to referees, primary high school infrastructures, club infrastructure, our national procurement spend in terms of what we spend in our budget on BEE companies. We are happy to record that as green, and then we give ourselves an overall score as a green score. So Madam Chair, on that note, that is our achievement on 2014 implementation of our transformation plan. Over to you.
Thank you. Can I continue, Andrew? Thank you. In terms of the second point, performance of Rugby World Cup 2015, just a brief spread in the timeline. Obviously, 1995 first, third, losing quarterfinal first in 2007, losing quarterfinal 2011, and we came third in the Rugby World Cup last year. Still achieved an honourable position, but as you all know, both as South Africans and even more so in rugby, unless we get a gold medal, we're not really satisfied with what we're doing. But we did return with a bronze medal. To us, that's not good enough. And we've obviously set all of the plans in motion to ensure that the next time we return from a Rugby World Cup, that it will be a gold medal. In terms of the preparation then for the Sevens team to Rio, we approved our final plan towards Rio in 2015 through the South African Rugby Executive Council. We made an additional $12 million was approved in the budget for 2016. SASCOC supported us well in terms of funding and both in cooperation. We had players from the fitness side, coaches as Brian O'Hanna, Joan de Jong, Jim Colby, Francois O'Connor, and Anton Scoppin, and have reintroduced the Seven for selection purposes. The cooperation from our members next to us here has been great in releasing players, even though some of those players are playing Super Rugby and that they're actually weakening their teams by releasing their players to us. But this is in terms of a chase to a gold medal at the Olympics, and we've got their full support. Obviously, the full support of every department within South African Rugby and one focus only, and that's to go and get a medal on behalf of Team South Africa at the Olympics. And then we are currently second in the World Rugby World Series following the Singapore tournament that took place on the weekend. We seem to be there and thereabouts all along, and just running over that last hurdle in terms of the final. For your benefit, it is an extremely tough competition week in, week out. Teams have become really close to each other, and I think this will become tougher over years as the smaller unions in the world that are unable to field 15-man sides, etc., and who have an Olympic drive, get more and more funding available and will refocus their attention to obtaining an Olympic medal, which is the ultimate goal for all of them, whilst we try to look across the board in developing all of our players. In terms of the EP Rugby Union, you have all the information in the back up front. Basically, where the process is at the moment and where we've gone is that in terms of our constitution, we can only intervene at a certain stage. There's only two ways that we can actually do that. One is on the request of the union itself, realizing that there is issues within the union and that they would need assistance from SARU other than just financial assistance. I'm talking about a more serious intervention. Also, that we can do that once the financial situation or there is a moment in time when in terms of our constitution, there is financial issues to the point where we can intervene. When we were dealing with the Sun Kings as a franchise, obviously in terms of our allocation of the franchises, the EP Rugby Union realized that they would be in trouble in terms of the sustainability of that franchise and asked SARU to step in
We went through the process, both through an executive council and in the end getting it ratified at the general council, who holds the decision-making power on current participation and both super rugby participation, that we would take control of the franchise, and that we would put that franchise in a separate vehicle, a PTY limited, as to ensure that we tick all of the boxes in terms of legislation, in terms of labour law, etc., as we will be contracting players. We specifically put that in a separate entity so that it can have its own board and own bookies and its own employees. We have utilised the broadcasting fees as per the allocation for the Super Rugby component to sustain that, add to that case, etc., to handle it from a financial position. And that franchise will be handed back in terms of the agreement when the union is sustainable or any other decision that is taken by the General Council, who is the ultimate decision makers on that process. On the EPRB union itself, it's widely published that there is a liquidation application, which was a preliminary order has been given. There is a very final date in terms of the 10th of May, and we are working closely with EP Rugby Union and other stakeholders in ensuring that we come to a settlement either before that date, along with EP Rugby Union, and that we address issues that is there and hopefully go into a business rescue through the help of Equid Partners. In terms of the other issues within the EP Rugby Union, SARA's Executive Council have appointed two executive members to assist, one in terms of actually running the meetings so that we have orderly meetings and that the meetings take place in terms of the constitution of the EP Rugby Union, and have appointed an administrator to oversee the administrative processes so that rugby is still being played within the teams and its amateur structures, and we have full support of the EP Rugby Union executive on that, and there is a member here should there be any questions later on in terms of that. So there is a very definite line in the sand, which is the 10th of May, which we're working towards, and we will do everything in our power to assist that union like it's assisted other unions to get it across the line. For those that are the obvious question, additional funding, etc., we can only provide funding in terms of our budget and in terms of our processes, so no additional funding at this stage has been given, as it will be actually a real stupid move to make, actually, given the fact that there's a liquidation order coming. But other than that, working behind the scenes in conjunction with them to ensure that rugby is being played in the union, which is the only real issue. We need to ensure that union plays rugby, that the club rugby goes on, amateur rugby goes on, and that they participate within the structures. We will do everything in our power to ensure that.
Members, I'm expecting they are looking. We have seen that they are galloping, but the information is in front of us, and you must not give them to present everything. And when you are raising questions, you will be informed by your notes. Right?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So with regards to the status of governance and confirmation of provincial unions, FORU has introduced a tool whereby unions can apply for strategic development funding from FORU. We use the tool for them through the application to monitor the funding and then the reporting to make sure that it meets all the transformation dimensions. The program is monitored on a daily basis. It's a live online program where myself and Mr. Green monitor daily. Information also then used feeds into the e-filing system where we put all our where all the information that's requested from government is collected into the online system. The system is used, it's monitored in a way that everything that the unions do, the unions as well as the information that's required from us, it feeds into the e-filing system where we can report to government on what we've agreed to achieve for our targets.
Okay. it's just important to note that this is not our city filing, it's our own filing. It's just,
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thanks, Samantha. Part of what Samantha explained to you, Madam Chair, now, the next slide, what you see there is what we've put together is a dashboard for ourselves. How we look at our provincial unions, how they feature against the scorecards from the EPG committee. So you see the six dimensions in listed there. And what we do, we do union visits twice a year. So we sign our scorecards with our individual unions. We request them to give their own targets what they would like to set out for that particular year. And in the back end of the year, we then go back and sort of audit as to what they have achieved on those dimensions. So what is in front of you is just a dashboard, how we rated them. As you can see, once again, our challenge throughout the unions, or in most of the unions, where the red rugby balls are flashing, as to your demographic profile of the provincial teams within our domestic competition structures, and then to a lesser extent to slow development and access of the game within certain unions, but then move on to the rest of the dimensions. We're all into anger, which is not there yet, but we're working in progress in terms of them to get them all to a green ball, where we then can quite easily say that we will meet our targets by 2019, which is signed up with the Minister of Sport and Sanscom. So here you can see for yourself, this is what we try to achieve there.
But I do, with your permission, just lately, just an update on where we are past the last weekend in terms of our Vodacom Super Rugby. Just for the honourable members' benefit, in terms of our agreement with SASCOG and the Department of Sports and Rec and the EPG grouping, basically your qualification and your mark is threefold. Red means you are not achieving 60%. Between 60 and 80% is amber, and above 80% is a green in terms of the set targets for 2019. So if we look at as it stands at the moment, we have a 60% mark, below 60% mark for one union, we've got above 60% mark for three unions, and we've got an above 80% mark for three of the other unions in Super Rugby. In terms of the qualifying competition that we're busy with at the moment, same principles, obviously. So we have not taking into account the Mavio, who's second last from the right. We have 1 million below 60, 2 above 60, and the rest all about 80%. Andy, can you take back to the traffic light pronto, please? Madam Chair, with your permission, in terms of our six dimensions, which Mervyn and Samantha, I can say in all honesty, they actually own these plans and know every detail. And for those of you that have gone through the transformation plan, you will understand that it's a massive level of detail, and that you get graded on a massive amount of information. For us, basically, if you look at what is in front of us, and for each of these unions sitting there, we all know where we need to get to. And our glaring issues at the moment is the demographics access in a less sense, because there's vast improvements there. And obviously, the last one, you can probably not see it as well, but maybe on your own presentations, you'll see that it states BE in the right-hand corner just there underneath the badge. So on access throughout into rugby, throughout club rugby, premier schools and secondary schools, I'm pretty sure that we'll have all of them at the very least amber and green for the year that is 2016, because it's a very easy problem to fix, and it's taken time for us to roll out our into rugby and all of our other programs and understanding where we need to be in it. The number of blocks, there's a few red ones, and we'll ensure that those change, and for the rest we're pretty much on track, and we'll ensure that for the bulk of it that we better off in those, or at least maintain the green ones where we are. In terms of BE, it's actually the easiest one for us to fix. That is more through a lack of registering, aligning yourself, ensuring that you're getting your certificates. We are embarking on a roadshow with each of the unions, through Mervyn and Samantha, within the next 2 months. We are taking accredited agents and accredited educating companies with us, and we will workshop that with each and every union, ensuring that we turn all of those balls into the right color, which then leaves us with the demographics, which is a very much bottom-up approach. and that therein lies our real challenge going forward. But hopefully you could see through the improvement 2016 that we're already getting on the right track through the different sections, and we must ensure that we bring the players through so that we hit our targets that we need to hit in terms of our agreement with the Sports and Rec and obviously SASCOC by the end of 2019, and we'll hear from the Minister by next Monday how satisfied or unsatisfied he is with his stand at the moment. It is a pretty much a moving target for us at this moment, other than the endpoint in 2019. But if you look at our barometer overall, like I said earlier, I mean, we do have a pass rate of 80% in general, which is audited numbers, and we, in terms of our assessment, we are hitting those target ball one or two, and we obviously committed to doing that up until 2019, ensuring that we honour our agreement with relevant parties.
Thank you so much. I'm suspecting you'll be taking the whole day. You know why? I'm trusting the members that according to our oversight, we did go to Limpopo, to Mpumalanga, and Eastern Cape, and fortunately we have reported. But you know what? These slides that we are just showing us, you called it dashboard, I'm worried, but fortunately it was one of our challenges. If somebody from Union is around here of Pumas, number one, will need themselves to talk to us, because as you put your plans, and when you're going down to the provinces, we don't get what we expected when we're there. So we're not going to be ashamed to ask the direct people who are taking care. For instance, your border, your Pumas, I'm not answering questions, but I'm reminded by our oversight. So some of the things that we did get experience in the oversight, we have explained, but I'm suspecting we'll be doing a follow-up question. Honorable members, I'm suspecting now is the time that we must engage robustly and seeking solutions, not just only seeking solutions and suggestions. Because when I'm looking at this dashboard, it worries me that 2014 until 2015, we still have a problem with access and with BEE. That we need clarity to those who are based on the provinces. So we'll assist any part to meet the provinces if they are not listening to you as staff. But not just we need reasons and suggestions. We do see the plan. The plan is looking like we are getting there, but I'm suspecting we are not here today. If we want to be there, we must together present and debate robustly. No one must be offended, but we'll be wanting to shape. We are proud of you as a rugby, people who are looking after your rugby. You see, you do have supporters like any other, like your soccer, but at the present moment, we are seeing a challenge. But this golden card will tell us, honorable members, this is the time that you must ask questions, contribute, very critical, but you must guard against not just criticizing, not providing suggestions and solutions. I'm giving the platform to honorable members. I'll note the hands. Good morning, honorable member who raised the hand. Once you came very late, but at least the gist of the of the presentation you did get, I didn't get your apology. I was thinking that you're not coming, but I'm seeing you, your hands are up in a later note. Honorable Bergman, Honorable Malazi, Honorable Mudeke, Honorable Sintani, Honorable Bev, Honorable Mishi, Honorable Manana, Honorable Rakom, in that order.
Thanks, Chair. Just to repeat what I think I've said before, and I'm yet to be proven otherwise, that I would still suggest and put it that this transformation policy is a funeral policy. I think maybe a nicer name is calling it colour by numbers. And the reason I say this is when you're looking on a national level, the great financial reporting that you see currently is basically based on revenue generation because of talent that we have and the talent that we continue to attract and trying to get mass participation. Now what we're finding, and I'm sure that this can be agreed upon, is that the players that are not even now putting themselves forward on our shores, they're going offshore. And the problem with that is not that it's white players, it's a mixture of players. And the feedback would basically be is that we're creating two classes of player again. Now when you play overseas, you're a rugby player. You're not a white player, you're not a black player, you're just a rugby player. When you play in South Africa though, you've got the added burden of being judged as, are you a merit player, or are you a player just based there because of whatever colour? And I don't think that's what we meant when we were transformation. I think let me make it very clear again. We are not against transformation. We totally for transformation. But the transformation has to be responsible. Now, when we look at transformation on a club level, I'm looking at the figures again, and I'm seeing 13% of funding coming down to development. Now, if I've understood correctly, there's 3,615 facilities, and yet there's 1,107 clubs. Now, if you take the clubs and you look at the players and the figures we're trying to attain, I've gone to visit the rugby festivals at school level, and I've gone to see rugby at provincial and national level. Where I find a huge vacuum happens to be on a club level. Now, I'm seeing all these nice clubs, it is 1,107 clubs that we clearly need to go visit or at least start visiting to see what's really happening on that level. But my question to Sarah would be, where is that money that gets fed into development? Where does it go? Because on a school level, there's both budget coming from an SRSA, from SRSA, and there's budget coming from SORU. Now, on a club level, I see that SORU is invested there, but how much of that money is actually going into building, into maintaining these facilities and the upkeep of these facilities? And have we done a full audit, so maybe narrowing the facilities but upgrading them to ensure that we cater for everyone? In terms of our new coach, I'm actually sorry that the new coach is not here. We really congratulate you on the great appointment. We look forward to good things from our new coach. I would like to know what the coach's mandate is. You know, what have we given him as a target and how long have we given the coach to fulfill these targets? But from our side, it's a definite vote of confidence in our coach, and we support the appointment. Now, Yuri basically mentioned a little touch on the SLA between SRSA and SORU. I'm interested to find out how often these meetings take place and how close we are to a full SLA that I think is agreed upon by all the union members and on an SRSA side, and how often we meet in that regard. The president at some stage was quoted as saying that the Stormers has done the Stormers did very well in transformation, but that there are, and he mentioned quite a few of the franchises that haven't done well in transformation. If I can ask the president, what is it that the Stormers did well, and what is the model that the Stormers employed that the other unions haven't employed, and how are we going to ensure that the other unions get to that introducing that type of model? What, in terms of sponsorship, I try to understand what the loss of that sponsorship means to us and if we've replaced it at this stage. From the, you know, I think also in terms of transformation, what I also need to understand, I've said it before again, that transformation, if it's just taking place correctly on a school level, on a club level, and on a provincial level, it would never have to, we'd never have to worry about what's happening on a national level, because then transformation itself would correct itself. So I think the message is clear, hands off the Springboks for now. Let's deal with transformation on real levels where it makes an impact, where we have to work on transformation. And let the Springbok team basically metamorphosize because of true transformation. And again, as I say, when I say hands off Springboks, it's not saying no transformation, it's saying let's have sustainable transformation. Because in this funeral policy, what I see and envisage is that come 2019, you'll have your 50% transformation because that's what you wanted on paper.
Do you have a funeral scheme here?
I'm selling it, Senator. Well, I'm hoping we're lapsing that policy. But I do believe that by 2020 or 2021, you're going to have the same problems again. Because, again, the Taliban numbers program will not be able to be sustained. In a passionate part, where we come to what I've been trying to work on is the EP Kings. And I'm sorry that the President is not here for the EP Kings. It was expected, and I'm sure we'll find out why. But EP Kings is almost the flagship of transformation. You know, ever since it was formed in 2009, we've been looking for great things and great transformation coming from the EP Kings. Now, what's happened is we've been plagued by high staff turnover, high player turnover. We've had promises of a 200 million in sponsorship that never materialized. We've been told why it possibly never materialized. But I'd be interested to find out whether those talks carry on in terms of sponsorship, whether where we are in trying to get a proper sponsor. In the EP Kings, it's been alleged that the Metro fund, the EP Kings, sponsor the EP Kings. I think it's to the value of about 50 million rand at this stage. But the accounting from where it happens, I'm not sure, and maybe the gentleman from the EP King can assist me, where does Access Management play a part? You know, is Access Management the sponsor? Does EP King's, does the Nelson Mandela Metro pay anything to Access Management? Can I just have clarity around that specific allegation? I know that the South African Rugby Players Union and SARU and EP King's have been in, I think it's two meetings by now. I want to know if there's any where we at in terms of what the players union have requested and what we've managed to answer, or if there's any timeline given to us that we haven't reached at this stage. And again, I know that there was a
French... No, but man, can you take a second bite? Because now I'll be giving them to answer you before any other. There's nothing wrong that you're doing, but I'm saying that because I've allowed that they must present everything. That's why we're having so many questions. So, if you don't mind, wrap up your questions in order that if we are not yet finished, we'll take a second round.
Okay.
I'm not saying stop it, but I'm saying wrap it up, and I will be asking that they must answer your questions because they are locked.
Sorry,
sir. Okay, no, nothing.
I'll wrap up by saying that I heard there was a sponsorship offer from a French club in Toulon, and I just wanted to find out whether we could put that back on the cards. Now, I also heard the rumours about the BRFU and the EP King possibly merging, which, again, I'd like to have clarity on that. But from our side, it just sounds fair, if I may. It just sounds like I think it's time for the EP Kings to actually get a new royal family. Thank you.
let me take this opportunity to allow if any other question or any other questions are landing, like Honorable Huffman, I'll be giving you a chance not to take all the heads. I want that maybe when the others are asking follow up questions, because the problem was taken the oversight. So the questions are going to be related. But because you had so many questions and discussions, that's what I was telling you, that we are here to be cleared on all what we have encountered on the ground. Can you give President anyone to respond on Honorable Bergman, questions and discussions. I thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Honorable Bergman. I would like to kick off, but I'd like to ask my colleagues to jump in with the permission of the Chair to supplement my answers, because you've raised a number of pertinent points regarding our sport, and I would actually like to respond the whole day if I had the opportunity, of course, but I don't. I suppose just to, from a rugby perspective, honourable members, transformation in my tenure has been the most spoken about issue in our meetings, because rugby understands since our democratic dispensation that we operate in a different context to what we operated on before under the devious regime. And I want to assure members that we don't pay lip service to transformation. We know that for rugby it is the most difficult bugbear for us. We know that we are being watched by our society as sport, and we want to honestly do the right thing. I am completing my term as president soon. Well, maybe not soon enough, but soon. And I want to assure the House that transformation will continue to receive top agenda, top item on our agenda. And please just take our bona fides that we are going to do and continue to do the right thing for the sport and for the country. And I know sometimes from the perception outside of our sport maybe that we're not transforming fast enough. And I understand that. If I was outside, I would also have that criticism. But I want to assure the House that it's always going to be the top priority. And we will get there. Just one point before I hand over to others, because I think we've been all invited to this meeting so that the presidents can also have an opportunity to address this honorable House. I think that the SADC delegation comes here all the time, but the presidents want an opportunity as well, and I'm really inviting them to participate. Just on the issue, Honorable Bergman raised the issue of the overseas players. It is a reality, whether we like it or not, that in the professional era, players have the right to buy their trade where they can get the most money. And if we look at our currency, and I don't want to go into why the currency is where it is, because you honorable members deal with that on a daily basis. But players in South Africa are going to buy their trade overseas because they earn more money. The currency overseas in Europe, in particular, and in Japan, is far more what a player can earn than what he can earn if he stays in South Africa. So how we keep our players in South Africa is a challenge for us as a sport. And at the moment we are debating the possibility as we go forward of restricting players from playing in the national team for the Springboks, from playing overseas. We are debating that. We have a new coach. We have to see what suits him as well. But we are debating it. We regard it as work in progress. It's not a fait accompli that if you're playing overseas that you will automatically pick for the Springboks going forward. So we might have to tighten up as we go forward. But it is impossible to have players all playing in South Africa. We can only have a certain number of professional players as our system can allow us. And in fact, at the moment, we know as administrators that we have too many professional players. Our system can't maintain it. And hence the reason why we have so many of our players playing overseas. So just wanted to address that point. There are a number of points that Honorable Bergman raised, and I think I'm going to also allow my colleagues to jump in. Perhaps just the last response from me is it is a pity, John, that the former president is not here, but I would have liked him to have explained it, that, you know, what they're doing down here, but I don't speak on behalf of the union sit on here. Thank you.
Any intake? Anyone can answer the questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, Honourable Bergman. In terms of facilities, etc., from a SARU point of view, very little of that money actually flows to that end. In terms of the sports plan and the provisions within the national sports plan facilities is the role and responsibility of the Department of Sport and not us as such, especially in the Western Cape, and I'm pretty sure in the rest of the country, a lot of the sports facilities are shared facilities, both with cricket, football, etc., etc. Yes, there's a big need in terms of facilities, and most of those clubs, in terms of their funding, in some way or form, actually look after their facilities themselves. As our money towards development goes into human resources, more specifically, and ensuring that we put the players and develop the players through the system. In terms of sponsorship, any sponsorship loss is always a big issue for us. We are addressing all of those issues, and as you see, we announced and yet another sponsor yesterday in terms of the rugby championships and the inbound test matches. We are obviously in negotiation for a new sponsor. Just to put it in perspective, for a sponsor of the size of the Springboks, that's normally an 18-month negotiation, so we're trying to cram it into 6 months. We're currently dealing with three parties, and we are constantly addressing their questions, etc., and then hopefully we'll sign within the next couple of weeks. In terms of the Ipkings itself, which I'll obviously ask Mr. McCorkey himself to answer in terms of what is happening there, but in terms of the process going forward, now, I wouldn't believe too much what I'm reading in the media in terms of possible deals that are happening. The Border and the Kings actually joined, I mean, that would be a council decision over here in terms of the demarcation and the borders of our unions, and that is a constitutional change and decision that has been taken and is not in front of everybody at this stage, not in front of the office, nor the executive council or the general council. And probably just some comments that are being made by people. In terms of deals on the table, yes, we are talking to three different equity partners at the moment. It is a very sensitive process, given the fact that there's a liquidation and a possible settlement agreement that is there with players, and we need to get to the right people, ensuring that the right deal is on the table that will take EPRA forward. And in terms of EP being a flagship of transformation, I would think there's other unions that are involved, but I understand the point you're actually trying to make in terms of that there is a mass of black players within the province, and that within that province we should probably bring those players through and ensure that it's a good news story. I'll leave the funeral. I actually completely disagree. I kind of understand the reference in terms of the funeral policy. But there's only one thing that will speak in the end, and those are results. And we are pointing out results across the board. To us, getting to that point will also be a result. It will not be only a result on the field, but also off the field. But there is a lot of other factors that also play a role, and the president has touched on one or two of them. We're in a global sport, pretty much like football at the moment. We keep on talking about England and France at the moment in Europe. Our next problem is the Americas. They've just launched their Major League Rugby, and the dollar is as strong. So we're gonna have some challenges. I think I saw four players signed in the last week, all players that have already been in Europe, but there's another challenge coming out of there. We have centrally contracted in terms of our scribbles and getting the key players over here. Bear in mind that sometimes players take decisions for other reasons as well. New cultural experience, broadening their horizons, taking their family somewhere, always knowing that they can come back at some stage. But now addressing that issue, we did not want to address the issue with players and make a decision on behalf of the new coach without him having input. In terms of the KPIs of the coach, these are some pretty strict KPIs as you would have, given our high standards. But he's got a repeatable CV, and I'm sure he'll get to all of those KPIs. I don't know whether I've missed anything.
Just out of the policy, the plan.
Can I call abuse? I'm suspecting I've reacted to myself with a policy. We don't have a policy. Maybe and even other members they will correct or talk upon this. So, with due respect, I did react when Honourable Bethman, every now and then, when we're a police calling, funeral police, and even us, are we in a burial society? I don't think I did take it lightly, but I didn't want to be like that. I'm pleading, no one must refer to the funeral police. We are very serious here, talking about the transformation, which is in 21 years in the government, that we are ruling, not seeing exactly a transformation. And when we are here, we ask you that come 5 years of this summit, want to see a transformation, and committed to us that after the minister, you have signed MOU, and now we need to look at the scoring card as a committee and asking you relevant questions to that. Why are you not able to do ABC? Let's not entertain that question. It's not right.
I think Chairperson will clarify how we see transformation.
Okay, thank
transformation
you.
Is a strategic imperative for us at SARO and for the overall growth of our game. So we use it as part of our strategic objectives going forward, so it's not something we take lightly.
Any other intake? I've seen the head at the back.
Okay, yes, Representative. I'm Fred Makogo from Eastern Province Rugby. I think it would be proper, Representative, with your time, that before I answer Honorable Bergman, that I must go back to where we are coming from as Eastern Province Rugby. You'll remember that the unification of Western South Africa came in 1992. At that time, especially the Eastern Cape, especially Eastern Province itself, was one of the strongest provincial rugby. EP, when I say EP from the so-called colored people, Paru from the non-racial, they are very strong provincial teams, Jefferson, at that time. And then unification came. Just as we're starting unification, Jefferson, understand that we started with speed professionalism after the 1995 World Cup. If you can look backwards at that time, we never have a single sponsor in that area. We know why. Some of the people also know why. But we keep on the flaming of rugby burning in that area. We produce a lot of players in that area with a minimum budget. We produce some coaches like Ututi now and Steve's. Once we're doing that, Chairperson, we had about 120 clubs which are playing rugby in and out of weekends. Those clubs, Chairperson, they are traveling a minimum of 300 days to go and play rugby. And those clubs are subsidized by this Eastern Province rugby. And Jefferson also in holding the union meeting in that area. You must talk, I must pay about 120 a union meeting to bring all those delegates in. That's what we did, Jefferson. But it's that unfortunate, Jefferson, that those who are still in control of the economy of this country, they find it very difficult to support Eastern Province and border in that area. We've got big companies which are not going to mention names here, but they are not keen to sponsor those provinces. We've got gold mines in terms of players. These just need to be policed. But unfortunately, the big business people, they don't want to assist us. I heard my dear friend when he said that there were monies which came from the metro, which is my district. And Sebastian, I don't think that is right. The metro, as we speak now, are not supporting us as Eastern Province Rugby as we speak now. The people who are always promising are those who are coming from the other political parties to say that if you can take out the treaty, we can put money as we speak now. That is not our democracy. Our democracy is that our clubs, constitutionally, they've got the right to put whoever they want in that position. But the point I wanted basically to respond on is that the metro is not assisting us. It's got their own strategies. We've got three big sporting codes in that area, which is cricket and soccer. They don't get a cent also from the metro. Access management, which my honorable Bergman has asked, we know through South Africa, in all these stadiums which have been built for 2010, there are those companies which are running those stadiums so that they can generate funds. That's what SS also is doing in that area. I thank you.
Any intake? I've said we'll be taking the good day. I do appreciate the openness to everybody. You must say what you want to say in order that we must come again and construct and try to be par with whoever when we're talking about transformation. We're still maintaining that we're not yet there for the transformation, but we need to be just constructive when we're discussing the issues of transformation in order that we must have views. We are telling you, we'll come. We are finished.
Thank you, Sir Person. While you're speaking, there's something also came. You know, Sir Person, if you can look to the world rugby, you'll find that what is happening in Eastern Province, it also happens to the weather class. As we speak here with my honorable Bergman, you will find the Tonga are right in this situation where the system problems. But the New Zealand government took an initiative to speak with the World Rugby that they must assess the situation. As EP, as I'm sitting here, we are happy with our mother board, which is SARF, that we are working together in trying to resolve the situation. Knowing fully well that we, as Eastern Province, will also take a long time to ask SARF to come in. Because all along we're thinking that the sponsor will be coming. But as we speak now, we are in good terms, we are talking with Saru. Maybe very soon this thing will be resolved. Asking also the government if they can to assist, also to appeal to the business people to please come in. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that, because I was going to the follow-up question saying what is Sari doing, so I'm no longer going to that intervention. We hear from themselves. They will tell us. We do appreciate. Any other input, intake? So far, Honorable Malaze asked to be excused just for the moment. Honorable Modeza.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You will forgive me, I'm not well today. My voice is less. You know, if I remember well, the previous year, Saru came to us, and then we had some robust discussions with him. And we also told them what we expect out of them as the mother body of rugby in the country. And as far as I'm concerned, Honorable Chair, all the time the excuses, against transformation will be, no, we have to be responsible. We need quality. We can't just do it. We need quality. But the question now is, with the non-transformed Springboks, what are the results? Because quality is important. And you didn't do it because you want to maintain quality players. What happened? What are the results? You know, my chairperson, some people, citizens of this country, especially from rural areas, they only see it as a sport on TV. They have been neglected by apartheid before, 1994. Now, 22 years into democracy, they are still neglected. There is no rugby in rural areas. I'm still saying it again. There's no rugby there. So, transformation is not taken seriously. And the other point, which we must also look at, a very important one, is that the top structure of SARU are women. If not, it is one, but the vote is only the team, the president, what is the president? The president is leading team of white ladies and colors. There's no women. Why? At this time, 22 years into democracy. Where are the women? How do you address transformation if you don't acquire the skillful women to be part of the leading team? You know, what you tell us and what you see is different. Let us see the mix, let us see representation of South African citizens, females and males, and all colors. Because the team you're leading here today, Mr. President, the same team you led last year here when we have arguments of racism and other things. And when you take transformation, there's nothing called racism, because we have to talk about races in order to transform. And going deep and demanding details of the things they agree. Let us now hear on the coaches that they have accredited, how many of them are from rural areas? These primary schools that are participating in the leagues, these senior schools that are participating in the leagues, can you actually mention five of them from the deep rural areas? Can they do that through Jefferson? You know, it is very painful, Jefferson, to come here, we talk, after we have spoken, nothing happened. Come the other year, the next year, we're going to talk the same. That is why we think other committees have failed to push transformation. Because people come once and then they don't deliver. Then if you come once, that means you come only five times over 2 or 5 years. And the very same committee, which is all out to make sure the transformation is happening across the country, is still going to fail. So we are saying to Saru, Disco and Transformations. Disco and Transformations are your elites. Transformation doesn't mean you put more facilities where the others are there. Take them somewhere where there never be anything. Let us go and see if we can find the rugby facility deep in this city and the players who are playing leagues. Let us go and see if we can find it deep there in Amarisha and Limpopo. If we can find the rugby team there or down at KwaZulu-Natal, we can find them there. We had an argument here in the previous meeting that assets in the Guleni townships where Africans are living, there are no rugby hits. And then they let me, you are lying. Only go there, they took us to Rabat. Rabat, previously it was advantage, even now it's advantage. So, we are out there, and then we can see this are not happening. So, just for example, give us 85 primary schools which are playing rugby deep in the rural areas and those senior schools. Then we will be able to say now we are convinced you are coming. But as for now, we are not informed. We are not convinced. Thank you very much. Let me get another mic next time. Thank you.
Honorable members, you're supposed to be out here at 12 stage. I don't want that much leave this comment with 11 hanging. Let's be brief to the point. Questions, clarification, but very brief. Clear questions and brief to the point. By 12 stage, another comment is going to be in this venue. Honorable Malak.
Thanks, and thanks for allowing me time to go out and deal with that matter. Chair, I think the subject of where we are in terms of rugby and where we need to go, it's a very contested topic. And it's contested simply because I think the majority of us who are either in sports or in sports administration, but also as leaders in society, feel strongly that it also has to represent what all South Africans would want a sport like rugby to do. And I think that is the one major common goal of many of us who find ourselves in these positions that we are in. And I think it's on that basis that it often sparks very emotive expressions, because it represents the aspirations of who we are as a nation, but also of they need to be on the right track. But that is its nature. I think one of the key things is there has to be blatant progress from previous discussions to these discussions in terms of some of the key issues that we address. And one of those was the issue in terms of, you know, the challenge of gender imbalance in terms of, you know, leadership, be it on overall leadership or the executive management team, but also the behind the scenes personnel. Because there are also immediate things that I, for one, feel with more proactive action can be done to deal with that, because it is not simply that the sport attracts a certain gender, therefore that gender gets reflected in its own leadership. You know, the issue of personnel presentivity is about expertise and skills, and that is widely available in the professional world. But I also like to get an insight of, in terms of being cognizant of this fact, in light of the last meeting we had, and also the comment that there is definitely work being done, to get more insight into what are the interventions that SARU is taking to deal with this, because we don't want to sound like a stuck record repeating the same tune over and over again. But what are some of the actions, and if there are challenges, because I would imagine they are, and perhaps we need more insight into that. What are some of the challenges that made it difficult to attract females into rugby, not on a playing field, but in terms of the administration of the sport. Because when you also go down, you look at the internal committees of SARU, and you can even spread that across the units. It's very blatant underrepresentation of gender, you know, and one can also argue to a certain extent that there's also blatant underrepresentation of youth, you know, and in your own internal interrogation, what does that attribute that to? You know, what are the difficulties in attracting female personnel into your board, into your team, and into administration? Because I also look in terms of the resource allocation. I think it was on the first presentation in terms of financials, you know, the pie chart that provides a breakdown of costs. You know, 13% of that is to development and women's rugby. And again, done on its own, you know, the tricky part with Orange rendering statement is that they can be open to interpretation. Is that purely development on the sport as a whole, and what's being done, particularly in terms of the resource allocation to women's rugby? You know, and to turn, I just want to comment on the flagship program of the women's service rugby. You know, I think if one is monitored like Pace, you know, and the recently won the Irish major championship, you know, it shows that where they're consistent effort and resources and very strong political will to get things right, the right outcomes can be achieved. But there were two slides that worried me a bit, which were not part of the presentation, by the way. There are slides on the screen. If you look at the benchmarks there, and the status of performance as is, you know, across the unions, because the unions carry, in my view, the largest burden of, you know, producing the talent that we'll deal with. And you know, juxtapose that in terms of what the demographics are at the under 20 national teams. You know, it shows that at junior level, the last excellent of junior level, we're doing well. Then it goes to the national team, then it gets a bit tricky. But it shows that talent is falling off. You know, it shows that, you know, beyond the under 20s, there's massive pool of talent that falls off. You know, do they disappear into the unions? You know, is it where the struggle for playing opportunities are, because elections, you know, are based on performance and consistent performance over time. And so there's a frank discussion and input from the unions themselves. You know, what is the biggest struggle so far in terms of, you know, performing to the requirements with which you have voluntarily agreed to perform? Because unless you also get that real sense from the unions, we can never have a real picture of what their own internal struggles are. You know, and you know, today we have the very advantage of having the leadership of the unions around. I think we need to have far more input on them from on this matter. But as we chair on the performance of the team, can we just get input from delegation in terms of the national team's performance at the World Cup? So in terms of major tournaments, you know, I think it established tradition to a review of the performance of the team, you know, an assessment of where, you know, the team may have come in short. To get a sense from the delegation as to what does the review of the team's performance at the World Cup tell about that particular team per se, and what interventions have been put in place to tackle those. Mindful that obviously we have a different technical team, and I think this is one of those great decisions that SARU has taken in terms of, you know, the appointment of a new technical team for the Springboks, but also suggest to you what is the exact mandate of the new team in terms of, you know, performance at championship level, performance at the World Cup, you know, performance in terms of, you know, the cultural championship. Let us have those so that we leave here fully conscious of what the expectations are on the state appointment. And lastly, on the EPR, I didn't want to be distracted by mentions of personalities and you know, and other issues, but I found it very problematic, and I'm curious in terms of more insights in terms of the reference that, and I would like, you know, because I think these are platforms where everything must be put to the table, that one of the references with the struggle for the action ownership for the EP union is alluded to the fact that, you know, or it was mentioned in passing, maybe it's not a fact, it's up to the challenge that, you know, there are some political parties that are working with those that are in charge of the corporate. If you get a sense of which political parties are there particularly, because I think it's a very curious and eyebrow rising reference. But also lastly on it, just to get from Charm, but does it believe that its interventions from the onset on the issue has been consistently writing something that it is proud of over time, you know, in dealing with the issue in terms of where it is now. And to also get comments on the plight of the players who have been some of the most severely affected people in here in terms of the loss of income. And I understand that the liquidation process, you know, it's ongoing, and soon there's a date in the next few weeks about, you know, finality or a decision on that. To also get, you know, what is the exact debt currently of the South and Kings and the union, so that we really can, you know, use this opportunity to get all those outstanding details on this issue, and from our view have the confidence that what Zara is presenting and the reality of what is happening outside of this platform are both consistent. Thanks, sir.
Perspective once in the outside, I was thinking as the leader there that we are happy that there is intervention from Zara, and I was saying that would love to hear from themselves what is that intervention after Honorable Mehmet was having a concern. So seemingly they were going to tell us we are acting upset. So Honorable Guy
thank you, sir. I think, sir, it's been too serious for quite so long. This is what brings in a relevant light moment here. I see Kevin Clark is still as tall as he was when he used to play law for Oprah. Appreciate that. When it comes to physiotherapists, I noticed for the ladies and gentlemen, the players have an opportunity to choose, you know, who should apply the physio, whether they want to refresh them and whether they want the lady to work on them or what is the policy there. Let's come to the more serious stuff. It's just a little to see some smarts as they always do when their provinces are winning. How would the current board feel if the new coach were to present you with a team this year, 80% black and 20% white? What would be your reaction? Well, I believe that the East transformation has played a critical role in his selection. Is South Africa ready for that kind of team? Secondly, in that same vein, do you see transformation necessarily leading to a winning team? The reason I'm asking that is because in that scorecard, you have got the six categories, but I'm missing the one that was here most about, and that is the effect of all these endeavors, the skills, social development, governance, VE, demographics. At the end of the day, we want to see a winning team. Now, you have, either for one reason or another, selected not to include here in this scoreboard the performance of those teams. You've just shown us how they are doing in this scoreboard, in this selected, you know, scoring lines. How do they then perform at the end of the day? Which leads me to the question I put to you first. My second question is, the senior schools participating, the demographics, I see there's improvements there. Now, how colored are those demographics? In other words, we see that when it comes to playing facilities and the like, you know, for the senior schools participating, we see there are some improvements, almost consistent improvements. My question is, what is the demographic profile of these schools that are improving? Because we definitely have, in South Africa, clearly defined different cultures. Now, what I want to know is that does this, you know, where improvement in other spheres also include demographics? This is what it says. to the provinces, I would love to hear a voice from one of the presidents. What happens to the players that come out of schools, out of the Vodacom League, out of varsity rugby? What happens to those players when it comes to Super Rugby? Because Eastern Cape as such, I happen to come from that part of the world. Because there's so many African players. They get contracted by the cheaters and what have you. Now, and then they become like bench warmers. That's what happens. Having been plunked out of the Eastern Cape, then it becomes bench warmers. Contracted, we have got no clue how much they earn when they become consistent bench warmers. What happens to those players once they're contracted by the big unions? We understand the financial attraction that comes, you know, with the Orange. What happens to those players? Because I understand that the Springbok coach cannot be those players. You can only work with players that, you know, are coming through from the provinces. So I want an answer from the provinces. Because I've dealt with rugby for quite a number of years besides having played it myself. So that's why I want to know. What happens to those players? Because my understanding is that that's why they get buried. Blumichi is one example. For instance, he was a consistent bench warmer in Blue Bulls. And then he got this opportunity to go to the first aid. Now he's a regular. What happens to the players? What are you doing about them? Next question is, we would love to have an analysis of what caused that dramatic thing. I was in London when Springboks were stressed by those guys who are not as tall as Kevin De Klerk. And watched the pathetic performance of our team there. How do you get to know what happens? It cannot be that the Springboks, not with Moya, the way you play, we should not have predicted that. When do we get to know what happened in London? There are other non-playing factors that affected the performance of our team. Let's get the answer. Our colleague has already lamented the fact that we seldom see you and we want to utilize this opportunity today because it was hectic. I was part of the parliamentary playing club there. Second last question there, sir. The Eastern Cape per se has gone past the stage, or if you're talking transformation there, you are sort of irrelevant, as it were, to the problems that are prevalent there. I still belong to a club that has been there since 1954, one of these in Mkata. Now, there is not a transformation problem, as well as water and so on. There is development support, logistics. They can't meet their fixtures because they left transport, you know, where mine, so to speak. What is Saru doing about it? I'm not necessarily saying that it is your exclusive problem. Get me right. You couldn't carry every responsibility I put to bear on this enough. But what help are you doing? For instance, what I suggest is that go back to old site where we used to play in Mdata, just play Central Transfer Rugby as it was called at the time. Talking about going to Queenstown and far away places. If you don't have money for going there, strengthen yourself, play rugby for pleasure. What alternative levels are you putting to those players, you know, besides the fact that, you know, to counteract the fact that they left money for transport? The last one, Blue Bulls, democratic. What is the problem there? Now, it's not only Blue Bulls, all the other ones that have got reds there, you know, right down to Falcon. What is the problem with democratic state? Do we not have people, you know, who are not white, who are serious enough about that? What is the problem? We're asking these questions because as the political people charged with the responsibility to ensure that there is development, we have got to find out where we can suggest what. People look up to us as their public representatives to say this is how we can reshape our rugby. We want a winning Springbok team at the end of the day. We want to enjoy those moments when you play against New Zealanders and the like. And not just that, down under in Australasia, you get now already quite a lot of players of color who mend those teams, and they seem to be doing pretty well. That ends my very first question, as to whether you see transformation as a tool that still results, you know, bring you positive results. I thank you, Chairman, for the opportunity.
Honourable members, I want that we must be patient, but I've asked honourable members to be brief to the point, but I know this is a portfolio committee that has got a passionate about the transformation. One other, somebody from this area of cameras and papers once wrote, not this one, who are us, I don't know, they once wrote saying that you are no longer robust. The Honorable Compeller was very robust when he was chairing it. And you know what? We want to make that they do have content. We want questions, we want answers. Come 2019, by the end of term of our Kutsev, we want to be with you asking to make a change. We can't be in 21 years, we are still trying about the transformation. We are hoping that the plan that we are having, we are seeing, is getting there. So we are not going just and not to tell you where you are right and where you are wrong. The reality is that we want a transformation in Rabi. And the minister has put the way of doing a transformation. We need to follow that. And every now and then we will be calling you, where honorable members, they were saying quarterly, in order that we were not saying that we have been giving you a long attitude. We are not yet doing anything, but the scope is a scoreboard or whatever. We see we have gotten there, but let's tell honorable men, let's tell them where they must go and improve. I appreciate the criticism that each transformation is not yet there, and our EPG, we are hoping for the best, and we know our minister what he said. If they are not doing ABC, there are consequences on that. But let's give them the package of go and improve in ABC. Also, I was not joking when I was saying, why are just, there's a word in Kosa, now you do hear that everybody is complaining about gender. But in your presentation, there's something saying about gender. And you appreciated that when you said gender question, you have put it here, we'll monitor. You were just, not in other years, that's where we are a few months when you said, go and have a plan of doing transforming on gender. We are looking on that. And until the time frames that we are giving you, we'll be telling you that we are failing. So far, when you came here, we've seen that e-gender was not a question to Usaru. You were not looking at it. And when we arrived, we have told you that, no, do something. I'm seeing in the play that they're doing something. And we tell you when we are not doing justice on your play. Honorable Beth.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yeah, on a lighter note, I want to ask Honorable Khan. He spoke out almost asking if it was a bench worm, or if I've been heard him saying bench worm as well. Yes. Transformation. Thank you. I'd like to ask when the transformation barometer the union performed. He said that the easiest one to achieve is the EE. What seems to be difficult for Western province because they've achieved everything except the EE. Then in terms of skills development, maybe this is far gets where there are women and people with disability, there are so many out there. Maybe I want to ask, is there a skills development plan? Do you have sufficient planning? Because that would assist, there are so many people in 22 years, I'm sure you could have transformed in part. The Federation identified four players in Sanin, and unfortunately, subsequently, the principal of the posters threatening to withdraw because funds, what seems to be the reason there? Does he understand the transformation policy? If I think if he understands, then he wouldn't be threatening for funds, there's other reasons. In terms of the National Demographics Administration, I think that part of the women is very critical, that we should try and do something there. Also on the schools, the infrastructure and high schools and the clubs, is the specific target it was set or is it a target in general? Thank you.
Thank you, brief to the point. Thank you for that. Honorable motion.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will also try to be quick. Let me quickly indicated, we also welcome the new co-chair, Aishita Kuti, on the behalf of the chairperson. I know that the chairperson is going to do it, but let me do it in the platform. I also want to add to the numbers of people who complain about the poor performance of the Boke in the World Cup. It was bad. It was terrible. We would never like it. But we could be beaten by countries such as Japan. Really, we do not like it. I want to indicate what the interpretation that even when we speak of transformation, I don't think there will be an instance whereby we are not going to speak about color. Because, you know, we speak about this because we are responding to what happened previously. Apartheid, you know, discriminated people against color. And then when we are the new democracy and we want to correct that, I don't think there is any other method that we're going to use that would not, you know, speak about numbers and add color to it. I don't think. But if there is a method that some people know, then let them tell us about it. But I don't want to speak about. I'm trying to rush. I want to perhaps assist in a question posed to Mr. Nkongi that Mr. Nkongi is not going to entangle himself by, you know, mentioning number of political parties here in the committee. But would rather stay away from it. Do not entangle yourself, you know, about the government. I want to add to what the Honorable Abraham said about disability. You know, for people like myself, I represent disability. And in most cases, very little would be said about disabled people. And I just want to check with Saru today that what is it that you do, you know, that is so tangible, that you do for the disabled people? You know, they does not only need to know to physically participate in rally, but would also want to contribute immensely. They've got brains, they've got everything. What is it that you are doing? Do you have batteries specially, you know, formulated for people with physical disability? I just want to check that. But again, let me check with Sarah. Why does it appear that you know, with, you know, your program of transformation, there is possible hostility from certain. Why is that happening? Why do we see some people, you know, against that program? Maybe perhaps to indicate that you know the president of the Pumas, maybe can indicate that why do you still have, you know, the red in Charles of the Chairperson, I'm trying to rush my questions, and then I also want to add to what Honorable Mudela said about the rural areas. And Chairperson, you know what apartheid did? Apartheid would take a place as far as I'm from Vryburg, Van Vryburghaaf. And there is a business to Vryburg called Bray. It is just out at the borders of Botswana. And what apartheid did, it would take a school like that and build some beautiful facilities in that particular school. And when you look at the school, it is about 150 away from the nearby village. And they would build facilities. And if that is, according to Saru, the interpretation of rural areas, then they need to tell us. Because I also want to know, I'm curious, I want to know of names of rural areas that are participating in the school program that you alluded to, Jefferson. I just want to say that, thank you, Jefferson. I'm trying to rush.
Rush, say everything that you want to say. This is your time. Take your Honorable Moshi, Honorable Manana.
Thank you, Chairperson. I must also join all the members who are congratulating the new coach. Chairperson, I must quickly start with the issue of policy, of funeral policy. Really, I must say it's an insult.
It's really an insult to us when we talk about the transformation policy, then as members divert it to the funeral policy, of which means you are dealing with dead people. It's an insult. Really, I must say that. So I think maybe he have mentioned that he was not there. He did not want to say that, but if the chancellor, I must say that. If it was not a chancellor, he was supposed to apologize because it's an insult. Obviously, we are all dead here. You can't talk with the funeral policy. People who are dealing with the funeral policy, they are dealing it for people who are dead. So that when they're dead, they can just bury them in a good... yeah, I must say that. So, Jefferson,
if you want to give anyone to respond, can you give Honorable Manana to contribute like any other, and when he finished, if you want to do a follow-up? Because if we started to ask what is CBC, what is whatever, I didn't do that. I said after he finishes to contribute, once you started your things, three of you honorable members, I know that each one will be responding to each one. Let's take this that Honorable Bachman, I've indicated that I don't know whether we are doing a funeral police in here, but Manana saying that it was out of order, our visitors complained. We must not feel offended. We were very offended when that thing was raised. I read it politely, but it was not right, because whenever he was contributing, he was talking about funeral police, funeral police. Honorable Mawala, Tobe Susan Zanyana, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. So we have to emphasize on the transformation policy. Those who were not interested on the transformation previously, now we have an interest, including all the South Africans, including the leadership in church. They have interest on transformation. That is why the SRXA tried to bring someone on board. The EPG is there. So we have to wait for the EPG. Of course, we know that the EPG came to us. We are still waiting and see how far have you come with the transformation. And then, Chairperson, when I look at the lyrics, we have a Chiki Watson, Mr. Chiki Watson. He also, that's my view in sports, because I've got interest in sports, in all the sporting codes. Chiki Watson, I think he has some other plans to rescue the kings. And we have another franchise chapter on that franchise what they have to do on it, they must assist that franchise, which is the Southern Kings, to sustain chapter on that. And cannot just because I don't want to be brief, Chairperson, since our colleagues, you know, once we have a media here, we can talk until, because we want to be sometimes, some of us, not me. So, let me just leave the coach, the coach, because the new coach, on the new coach, you can just assist the new coach, so that he mustn't fail, Saru. The new coach must not fail, and if you touch him with your mandate, that mandate you must have made a duration time that we want to see you implement in your mandate. You must have that duration, and you must also assist with the resources so that he can reach his target or mandate. And I want to find out on the content and progress of our level argument with SRSA. How far are we on that one? On the transformation, Chairperson, the latest update on the president touching the latest update on the grassroots implementation plan that you have presented previously in this committee. What is the state of infrastructure where the grassroots implementation is done, and what is the contribution of SARU on that? When it comes to infrastructural development, especially in the rural areas, that is our summit, you know that when we talk about the rural areas, we mean we are in business on that. So Chairperson, I must raise this with the pride from my province. I think I've had to mention a person from province in Mpumalanga. Chairperson, in my province, although I'm working for the whole country, but in my province, I've seen that. I'm from the rural areas. They've even put me to their WhatsApp group. Each and every event of rugby, they are informing me that today we're going to do 1, 2, 3. Really, what I can ask Saru maybe to intervene on these rural areas with the equipment, with the heat. Because some of them, they're laying with their clothes. Where I've seen this transformation in that rural areas I'm talking about, including the humans assisting as well, because this sports development in Rapi, we have got people who are assisting there. That is why the transformation is starting. We know that we can't just jump because of slowly but surely, we must say that. Chairperson, lastly, I think the President ever mentioned that the Stomas are doing good on transformation. We must get even the Bulls, Sharks, Lions. I think they are also doing better. We must just give credit where it's due. They are trying their best. That's what I can say, Chairperson. I thank you.
Thank you, Honourable. Honourable Radhom, Honourable Moshi, and Honourable Malatwe, I've seen your hands, because I'm not going to hear any other person after yourself. Or may I have, before that, may I have your follow-up? Wanted to respond to your colleague. Okay. Wait. Okay. Switch off your mic, that Honourable Musi. I wanted that if the time is up, I'm not going to take any follow-up questions. You must mind that I've given Uwe to be the last one, and the time now is 12:05, and at 12:30 we must be out here. Say something.
Mr. President, I initially had said to the gentleman that represented me that he should not respond to political questions that was posed. He should rather leave us like that and keep us speculating about those political ideas, even though some of us know who the political parties are.
Listen, if you wanted to say that, I'm tearing. So I was going to handle that thing. Leave it to myself.
Okay,
leave it to myself.
Okay.
I'm capable of handling some other things, but I know how I was going to handle it.
Yeah, very last question. Now, my last question to the person is that we previously, in the previous term, had Honorable Graham reside, you know, and we'd always be posing questions to President Austin and the delegation about issues of transformation. And I'm very sad and he's that side that I feel that the transformation is taking place, but it is taking place at snail's pace. And I just want to get his, you know, honest opinion. What do you think of transformation, Graham? Thank you, Sir President.
Graham? It's me. No, I'm not giving you a platform. I'm telling every member who would love that somebody must respond. It will depend to my place. I don't bend power when I'm chairing. I don't want someone wanted to chair on behalf of myself. Honorable Ralhom.
No, Chairperson, when I welcome the presentation by Saru and the presence of other viewers, from where I stand is that the National Sport Education Plan is your baby. You adopted it together with all the other sporting bodies. So for me really is that that is the plan that we have adopted. We are moving with that plan. And there was a choice. A choice was whether we want to do what Zimbabwe did. because Zimbabwe was quite clear. They simply said we transform, we'll go, forget about the formats. We didn't take that route. We took the route of performance and transformation at the same time. So I'm just leaving you with that scenario, because at the moment this government is pushing you to perform as per your own commitments, and your commitments is what we have signed with the department, SASCOP, overseen by the minister. And from where we are sitting, we are going to insist that the department must ensure that consequences take place in terms of all the bodies that do not meet the targets. Because you said you are going to, it's our own plan. Now, from where I'm moving, I mean, for me, you must ensure that you state quite clearly, generic tech, but we are still interested in Africa. We are not going to be apologetic about that. And I don't think it's correct that once we emphasize color, therefore, we must introduce new terms like that. That means federal something. I'm sorry that we should not even equate that to that, because for us, color is going to remain important because it's related to apartheid figures. Apartheid ensured that the law separated people by color, and we are still dealing with that figures. So transformation for us means we must undo what our data has done. We must undo everything that was created by apartheid. We must undo it. So it means the issue of access becomes paramount. As for me, the access, demographics, as well as the performance, are all the links. They influence each other. The last point that I want to also leave Saru is that in terms of transformation, we are still want to ensure that we must have a single badge. We are still interested in having a single badge, because at the moment we've got the Protea as a badge that is used by all sporting coach. And then we've got the SAM. There is still that understanding that you want to use a Springbok. But in terms of the national imperative, it is important that we should have a single badge. So that is going to be part of transformation. But we are doing that together with yourself. We need to engage around that. So that is my input, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Ranhom. When I was looking at your annual report, can I ask this question? How are you going to distribute this turnover of close to 2 billion, 967 million? If we are not yet having that information, we'd love, how is this redistributed, that 967 million? Now I'm giving you the chance to respond. If you have finished a regular after half past or at half past, don't worry to follow up to go on to them. This is not about me, it's about time. I'm suspecting there are so many questions that have been raised that we need clarity and answers. Can I give
President that you must direct your leadership to answer questions or to clarify some questions. And thank you.
Thank you, madam. Thank you. I'm going to ask my CEO to respond to you on the money that you raised. And then, for the sake of progress, we have this opportunity to have the provincial presence here. And each one has challenges within his province. And I would like to ask, with your permission, madam, that we give them the opportunity to talk to the Honourable House about the provincial situation. I really believe it's an important opportunity for them to talk to us about their own challenges.
No, would love to give you that permission, but when I was looking at time, I was talking to Usune or Administrator saying that seemingly we need to call all the provincial leaders to come and brief us. But those who are here, they must be briefed to the point, because we did visit their province and you did hear the complaints or the suggestions. Say something. We cannot not allow you, especially if your president is allowing you. We'll appreciate that. Any ethics? Anyone must start. Yes. You are number two and number three.
Thank you, Chair. I'm very fortunate to say today that let me bring some good news. You visited my province last year in Ikurhuleni. If you can remember, and I was speaking well with the Hoka. If you can remember. Remember, I made certain commitments to you. And today I'm telling you one of the problems that can tell you that very positive things has happened. Our Honourable Member spoke earlier about visiting Rega Park last year. And he mentioned that Rega Park is an advantage area, and I need to correct him. Rega Park is not an advantage area. It's a disadvantage area. I stay there. It's surrounded by those slogan informal settlement and Sir Ramaphosa informal settlement. And because of the program that we had and the feedback I gave you, Rega Park is one of the areas that has produced a first league team that's playing in the first league of the Falcon. First time in Italy. Because of the program of transformation. Secondly, the Honourable Member asked us to mention some clubs and schools where the rugby is being played. And if we're ready, I can tell the Honourable Member, 7 new clubs has been formed. Katong, Tembisa, Sebongeng, Kwatema, Javin and Sakani, and Rastafar. Club said that when you visited us last year, we're just starting. They are playing now in a competitive league in the Hoka. Furthermore, we have already engaged this year. Things that we've done, not telling you things that we're going to do. Things that we've done. We have already engaged with 5 more clubs. Areas that's going to have clubs. Two of our forces is the Dula Supporter, and Ikurhuleni and Shawford Shady Bank. Those are new clubs that's been formed by the Falker. With regard to the schools, we are aware of the fact that for us to transform the sport of rugby, we need to focus on ground level. This year, we've introduced 2016, we've introduced 24 new secondary schools and 57 new primary schools in black townships. I'm not talking about talents, I'm talking about typical black townships. I'll give you the numbers, Honourable Member. 16 clubs in Gambisa, 15 schools in Tuatua, 13 in Sakani, 8 in Sebokeng, 7 in Tokoza, and 8 in Katlehong. This is why there's 324 new teams, new schools, that's playing with the results that they will reduce 3,240 black rugby players in our region. Now, with the help of the municipality, I remember last time you ordered our municipality, and our municipality didn't perform so well. But I must tell you, after you left, we got together, of course, in Lulu, they said, Umuntu, Ngabantu. We need to work together, because it's not only us as a federation that needs to make sure things happen. It's a responsibility of our municipalities, our federation,
and the Department of Education. And we as a Falker, together with the Kirinani Municipality, the Let's Speak program, Get Into Rugby program, the Vuka program, and the Department of Education, as in depth and this program together. And this is the results we're going to produce. We're going to add, by the end of this year, we're going to produce 324 new administrators of rugby into our game and into our area. Okay, I don't want to go any further, but I just wanted to give the honorable member the feedback. I was asking the schools, I said, come please, come and visit my area. I'll take you to the schools. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's what we want when we took the minds of public during the oversight. We're supposed to go back, but the problem of Parliament didn't allow us. It's a pleasure that now we are giving us a feedback. We do appreciate that. The second,
Honorable Chair, honorable members, colleagues, I am responsible for the management of the Blue Bulls company. That's responsible for professional rugby in the Blue Bulls region. And that's the north part of Gauteng, the greater Tswane, and then the whole of Limpopo. The question about access and the red dot in 2014 and 15 for the Bulls. I think our biggest challenge, my colleague to the left will also add to that, is that traditionally we have low participation figures on school level. In our region, approximately 5% of schools are playing rugby. And that's the majority of them are previously white schools. In the Western and Eastern Cape, the average participation figures are from 80 to 95% playing rugby. So this creates challenge for us to be competitive on the field of play, especially in the professional teams. We work hard on that, and if you look at the Canada's and the SL20 team and Springbok team, a number of our players, black players, are competing in these competitions. We've embarked on a plan 3 years ago to rectify the position on a number of black players, and in Super Rugby of the six franchises, it's only the Stormers and the Kings that perform better than us. In 2016 and in Curry Cup, Border, Kings, SWD and Griffins are the first four performers, and then we are level in the first place with Willand and Western Province. You have seen the number of young black heroes that have been developed over the past number of years, and I would like to bring you to the question about what's happening with 19 and 20 and 21 players moving into Curry Cup and Super Rugby and into the Springbok team. There's a big time after the 21 rugby. And the reason, it's not only black players that stop playing rugby, but it's also white players. The moment they realize they are not going to play for the Springboks or Super Rugby, some of them then move on to clubs or stop playing rugby. And they move into professions. That's why we've got a special relationship with the University of Pretoria, and this year we had just over 80 of our 135 professional players that are studying at the University of Pretoria, and we are doing that since 2011 in a online program where we try to equip the players that at the end of their rugby career they also have a academic qualification to go into the world after rugby. Thank you.
Mr. Sveti, if we are going to have time, even myself, or to follow up your presentation, I'm not yet certain why are you having more participation
in schools. You didn't say the, what are the challenges, but let me take this opportunity. Are you coming from same place when you're saying that the gentleman next to you is going to do a follow-up? Are you coming from both, both of you?
Honourable Chair, yes, but there is two or three answers that was asked which I can respond on. The first part is also regarding the numbers of participants leaving school. We are at the Tshwane University of Technology busy with a scientific study to see what is the causes of those players stop playing rugby. So hopefully by the end of the year we will have a scientific result on that. So we're looking at that because it's also a challenge for us. Regarding the question of the kids in Tshwane, I've been in contact with the school. Those, that school is a focus school, specifically for rugby and netball. And those three boys are there. They are excellent rugby players and they will stay in the school. They will not be put out of the school or anything because they excel in school and also in the academics. The issue was that there was an agreement between SRNA and the parents, but the fees for the girls are being paid, but not for the boys. But I have confirmation that they will stay there because they are progressing in what they are doing. And then also on the schools in Limpopo, we are engaging with the Department of Education in all five districts, so that we can get access to the schools in the rural areas. We've identified about 24 schools that we are working on, specifically primary schools, to introduce rugby to them. Thank you, Chair.
Can you, anyone to tell us in the first question that I've raised when I was looking at your dashboard, it's Puma. Is anyone from there? I would love responses that can you tell something about what I've seen here or any other challenges that we are having?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Acknowledge the presence of Honourable Manana. I think we are from the same part of the country, ma'am, and the wise comes from the east, I believe, and we from east, yeah. Madam, our biggest challenge in Mpumalanga is demographics.
Sorry, are we in the church? The Bible said Israel comes from Mpumalanga.
I share that within my congregation. Now, the biggest challenge in Mpumalanga is demographics, and it will always be a challenge. We've got two red balls, the one is on demographics, and that is a problem that hails from a few factors. Number one is the proximity of my province next to my stronghold of the Bulls and the Lions. So whenever there is a player, irrespective of colour, which meets the standards and which has got the ability, I'm unfortunately not in a position to offer him the financial support that, or the financial benefits that you are to get from my next door neighbours, and as such, then such players are lost to the adjoining province. Add to that the fact that there's no settled universities in Mpumalanga. So it is nice and easy for my colleagues, and I admire them for doing that, and I'm not criticising for by using the tertiary institutions to, in actual fact, get the players within their area as such. Madam, I can spend a lot of time on demographics. Academies is of non-existence in the north. The presentation showed you School of Excellence, of which none is in the north. So I can carry on the demographics, which will always be a problem. The other red ball that I had was on the red ball of BEE. I think there is a difference in the attitude. I took into account on BEE, seeing that 85% of the procurement is on spent on players, I took into account BEE in that sector as well. If I take out procurement of players, then I easily meet the criteria of purely BEE on third party spending assets. So I will set that fact and just exclude procurement of players, and then my ball will be, or the rugby ball will be green as such. There was a question from the gentleman back there on transformation. Yes, sir. We support transformation in all aspects, and that's why we signed the all the documentation, and we participate in all programs within the transformation charter. I trust that I've answered those questions. But madam, I didn't get your question per se if I didn't answer it.
I'd love that, sir, when they are responding, the tables from themselves, what are they doing about the decline of your BEE, your access? You didn't say much, but there is, sir, that must tell us. In Limpopo, we must thank the sir that when we're doing oversight, it happened that we have seen some other problems, and as a committee we appeal to her to assist the women there with kids and whatever. We have appreciated her. The honorable members, they did go and present your hospitality on behalf of the committee. We know that you don't have budget for this committee, but we did appeal and you assisted us. We were with your leader here, Mr. Mayenda. I'm sure he did speak to your deputy president. We do appreciate that. We must declare in this house. But before anyone give us responses, Mr. McKenzie, can you say a word about sharks and lions?
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thank you, members, for hosting us today. I don't know about a lion and a shark tank. That might be a one-sided affair, but if you look to the result last week, it wasn't, so I'll retract that. Madam Chair, I think a few of the honourable members have asked some big pertinent questions about the challenges facing rugby, and in particular transformation in our country. I would like to add that while I'm this side of the aisle now, and I understand at a different level some of the challenges that we're facing here, the commitment to transformation is exactly the same as when I was on the other side. But let me just be very brief. I know that there are other speakers as well. Just want to say that in 2010, our union had an endeavor, and we transformed ourselves and amended our constitution to be in line with the national constitution of this country. In other words, we wanted to make our game and our province accessible to all, both at an elective position and also on the ground in terms of a playing position. So we started to get that imperative correct at the outset. The second challenge was to grow the game, and that's our mission statement. In order to do that, you need to reach those rural areas that several of the speakers and honourable members have discussed. The challenge there, honourable members, is very, very simple. In our province, we've managed to roll it out to the schools and some clubs in every single municipal district in our province, of which there are many, and it's a very vast area. However, the challenges are very, very simple. I'm not going to talk about facilities because we know that's an old story. But in addition to that, finance is a huge problem transporting players and kids from schools to facilities or to the nearest grounds. For example, outside Peter Maritzburg, for us to get boys and girls of color to play rugby, we need to hire buses on a weekly basis to come to practices and then to play games on Saturday. This comes at enormous cost. Then you go to Newcastle and beyond. Go to Ulundi, Melbourne, it doesn't matter where you're talking about in our province, but we have managed to reach something like 550 schools where they have now either access to rugby or they are playing rugby on a full-time basis. At the conclusion of this meeting, I'm going to leave a document which you and your committee which gives you a very comprehensive and detailed report on what's happening on ground, which leaves hopefully no questions unanswered, but if there are some clarities that you need, we'd be more than happy to handle. But I just want to say, Honourable Wuzi, that I think that this body here that I'm talking on behalf of, and particularly my union, we are totally committed to transformation. In fact, we made it a cornerstone in our union of our policy that transformation must be the top of that agenda. And yes, it does come with a few wrinkles, but I believe that all our communities in our province, diverse as they are, have bought into what transformation means. And that's number one, the transformation of the heart and mind, how we behave, and number two, how we actually implement that on the ground to make sure that it bears real results. And I think that's where we're headed. Are there challenges? Absolutely. Are we prepared to meet them? Yes. I would just say from our province, I've heard that the municipalities have given support to some of the unions, but in our province, and I must tell you, we don't get much help from the municipalities in terms of transport, certainly not in terms of the MIG fund, where I don't see these grants coming through and reaching the support at grassroots level. So for the facilities and to transport youngsters, help with kids, and so on. I'd also add that we've identified the five real poverty stricken areas in our province. We've instituted programs there to help poverty alleviation, and we've upskilled administrators and coaches in those areas, and they've now created seeds to form schools, playing, and hopefully clubs in the very near future. I thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, honourable members. I think from the Lions side, we very much share the sentiments of the previous messages that the unions have echoed to this portfolio committee. Just like the sharks near the union, it's like the assurance from the Lions side that we sincerely endorse this program and we give it our full support and our fullest effort at all times, which we have done. I'd just like to give a brief synopsis about SRA and where we find ourselves in Lions as well. I had the great privilege of playing for South Africa in the 70s and then later get involved in the administration of service for 47 years in Lions rugby in various capacities. So I like to think I've got the mission, I've been there, I've done it, but you learn every day, there's always something to find out. I come from here, as my brother explained to us, that we did not get paid to play the game. I received 10 rand to play for South Africa, believe it or not. As the current president, as our president has indicated, yes, we don't get paid to do the job. So what we do is we're sincerely serving this game as a lover of the game, as a person that would like to see the practice of our youth through sport to national levels and great achievements that so can. As the Lions, like all the other provinces, have many challenges around. I was particularly in charting the demographics of that area. We have wonderful soccer sides like Kaiser Chiefs, Lits, other Pirates, and so forth that you know, stabilize the sporting clubs in Johannesburg around soccer. We were unfortunately simultaneously eliminated from the 2013 Super 15, which cost us a union a very, very substantial amount. We lost a lot of players. And I would like to share with this committee that us at the Lions have stuck our guns and sincerely have tried to make do with what we had. But as far as transformation is concerned, it's not only that, it is a heart and mind thing, no doubt about that, but it does involve finances. We have to produce a national side that has to compete in world rugby. We have to produce a provincial side that has to compete in the Super 50. There's a saying in life that goes that a high tide will raise all boats. Now, the minute, you know, we're funny in public generally, we're very, very fickle. As soon as your side is doing well, your game's well, the sponsors come back, they want to participate. If that's not happening, as I might say, which is happening at the Kings, the people don't want necessarily, want to look at that rugby. They want to look at a successful side. So I find us, the lots of this rugby are very much in a balancing trick. We try to maintain a standard of rugby that will be acceptable, that will attract our investors, will keep our players, at the same time working very hard to close that gap for previously disadvantaged areas and previously disadvantaged players to make sure that they have that quality and that type of player, that they can then compete on that level. So, you know, from our side of the Lions, I think, you know, I'd like to commend my people around my business that have worked immensely hard to regain our status as American champions, and then also competing very, very well in the Super 50, despite the challenges it's thrown at us as a business. We need to have more money in the system. I would like to share with the committee as well, Madam Chair, is that we have sought outside funding to develop Jabulani High School. The Jabulani High School in Soweto is probably one of the oldest schools in Soweto. They don't have a facility. We've created 3 rugby fields for them. We're supplying coaches, supplying players, supplying the Jabulani Rugby Club. Has played their rugby for the last 2 years on opponent's fields. They haven't had their own field. So now we've created that facility for them to come and play on their field. And we're going to roll this system out. This is from private money, I'd like to add. Private money. We're going to roll this system out to the Lady and other schools in Soweto. I believe firmly, lastly, Madam Chair, is that we need funding desperately to enhance our transformation program. Thank you very much.
I thank you. President, they've told me that you are here until 13 hours. May we have responses on other questions, I think.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There was 33 other questions, of which 6 has been answered to the honourable members. I'll try to cover most of them, as some of them are repetitive in nature and maybe just from a different angle. We speak about the quality of the teams and the quality of our performance at the Rugby World Cup. I sometimes believe, you know, even though we would never like to lose against Japan and would never like to repeat that ever in our lives, you know, it's not about losing against Japan, it's about picking ourselves up, then still playing in the semi-final, almost beating All Blacks, and then playing in the playoff, and still bringing back a medal. I think we are sometimes a little bit too harsh on the rugby teams of South Africa. We are a federation that brings back medals, and we come back with trophies. We've brought back a medal from the Commonwealth, we brought back bronze, we won the World Cup twice, and I would like to see the other federation in the country that has done that. We talk about rurals. I think we gotta be fair to a national federation. Now there's lots of stories that Kevin has told, and that Vivian McCrim from the Falcons, and even from the Pumas. We've got a complete list of all of those rural areas and all of those schools. We'll distribute through Mervyn. Of course, we do have to do that. We've got all of that to enable us to produce those numbers. And there's lots of those stories. Maybe we don't tell them often enough. Maybe we're too silent on those stories. But there is good news stories. Are we being enough? We can never do enough. There's just not enough money yet, and it's a far reach. Also, please bear in mind that we are hamstrung in terms of the fact that we don't have access to the Department of Education, nor their grounds and their facilities. We have to ask permission to a headmaster before we can even set foot on a school ground, let alone go and coach or become part of their problems that they need to face. So yes, we are in the rural areas. Are we there enough? No. But what is enough? And what more can we do? And that's the challenge to each and every one of these unions. And we accept that challenge. And we are doing it. Yes, it's one example, but it's a very good example, and I'm sure there's a bit more of those examples. I think one thing that we've got to be honest on, and it's almost each and every member has raised that to us today, is that even though in terms of our equity employment, in terms of our plans on the backroom staff, in the staff employed on general manager level, etc., etc., within the employees of SARU, we're doing great because we've done the plans and we've done everything in terms of females. I think once it comes to leadership positions, yes, there are challenges. You know, rugby is a pretty hierarchical structure, and people have got to come through the system before they get elected. They almost got to pay their dues. That will ask you on youth. They're almost going to pay their dues before they get elected into their positions, and it's probably something to do with the fact that wisdom comes with age, I think. But the reality is that is a barrier, and it's a barrier that we need to achieve, and it's a paradigm shift that we need to make. And that's all it is. We need to open our eyes and make a paradigm shift and ensure that we have the people within that, in the structures, and we do have plans in that. And when we talk about dimensions and access, those are the plans, and those are the plans that the unions and ourselves will be just on. I have to agree on the statement that we've done nothing. We were not asked about transformation today. We provided those slides on our own accord. We're open and honest and completely transparent on where we are with our transformation plan. Those little balls as indicators on the barometer or dashboard that we call, those are open and honest assessments that are audited. And that's where we are. We agreed a pathway.
We're sitting to the board now. If you ask us where we are, we're in the green. We're getting an 80% mark. So, yes, we are doing something. Yes, we are succeeding. We are there. Are we doing enough? Yes, again, it'll be the same answer. We can never do enough. Are we going to try to do better? Yes, we are going to try to do better. Each and every one of us is committed to that plan. That's where we are in terms of the plan. We're green. We're green. Yes, we're red in certain areas, and we need to address those areas. But there are six dimensions. We get tested on six dimensions. That's the agreement we signed with everybody. And that's the pathway we want to win the tech. Do we want to get there earlier? Yes, we want to get there earlier. But judge us on what we're doing there. And we are green at the moment. We are doing what we said we're going to do. Not as great on certain levels, but far better on other levels. So please judge us on that. EP Rugby Union, there's a lot of reference to the EP Rugby Union. We're an organization that is defined by our constitution. We work within rules and regulations. We can't work outside of that. If you work outside of rules and regulations, it's anarchy. In terms of our constitution, we could only step in when the constitution allowed us to step in. That's the moment we step in. Could we have done it earlier? Constitutionally, no. Should we have done it earlier? Yes, but we would have been challenged with our constitution. Should we have done more? Yes, you can always do more. But where we are at the moment, we are not trying to get away from anything in terms of the EU Rugby Union. We're doing everything to assist them, like we did with Border when they were in Dublin 2 years ago, and we handed Border back to themselves in terms of the union on the 31st of March this year. So we'll follow exactly the same process. What if we choose an 80-20% black team? Wouldn't that be a delight so people that are non-believers can actually see that black people can play rugby and get to the point where you're going to get away from us? Alistair will select his team and he will select his own team and he will play the way he wants to play. But we're not afraid of that. We're not afraid of electing any player or which team he's going to elect. We've got to get to the point where we trust people and we trust the coach and trust the system. And we will not blink an eye. We will not blink an eye and we'll be on the pitch on Saturday to support them. We talk about the six dimensions. That's why we didn't talk about winning. We don't agree with the statement that transformation and winning cannot go hand in hand. If we agreed with that, we would not be sitting here and we would not be committed to a transformation plan. That is not in our frame of reference and you will never see us refer to that within that environment. So on the six dimensions, you know, we talk about the BEE problem in terms of that. It is exactly that. It is the fact that we have not registered in certain unions. We have not aligned ourselves in terms of the qualification dimensions of BEE, ensuring that we understand the dimensions. That's why we're going on a roadshow, Honourable Member, so to rectify all of those things, to get to the point that everybody understands what qualifies as an expense, what does not qualify as an expense, and then what to do to ensure that you're within that right environment. And I'm pretty sure if we go through that process, because some of those balls are really simply because they've not been certified. And that is, I think that's easily fixable. And that addresses the recent problems, etc. So there was a number of questions on them. Once again, on when we concede in terms of that. In terms of disability, we've got a number of associates in terms of a disability. We've got the wheelchair, etc. Some of those associates are not in good standing, but that's our responsibility. We will ensure that they become in good standing. They actually gave four associate member notice that they're not in good standing. But when we give them notice in good standing, we immediately follow up and say, we've got 12 months to ensure that you're in good standing. We do not revoke your membership or anything else. And we do give both financial and human resources support to that. In terms of our disability planning, in terms of equity employment, that is part of it and is governed by a pretty strict independent HR committee. On the new coach, the coach will be given every courtesy that every previous coach was given. So he's got a term, he's got happy eyes, and he will have the ability to prove himself like every other coach and not be fired if he loses his games against Ireland, although that's not my decision, it's the guys behind me in terms of the general council. Once again, the agreement was signed. How often do we have to give all these reports? Mervyn meets with Dr. Basson quite regularly as he's the custodian of all of that information. As a mentor has told you, I mean, it's online information. It's there for us at the push of a button. So we can provide information on a daily basis. We've got everything at hand. Yes, we meet regularly. The EPG meetings is currently is is annually. We've got one up, and then normally there's a feedback meeting at the end of the year. That one is happening next week. And remember, we're now only reporting back on the 2014 period. We've already ended in the first quarter of 2016. So I think we're pretty far down the line. Everybody is signed, and everybody is committed to that. We talk about the national sports plan. We all signed onto it. We were all there in Rustenburg when everything was decided, and post that when we all agreed to it. So we're part and parcel of that plan and also of the Sports Act, and we understand it. And I think I would like to see that we do live as well. And then in the last instance on where do we send our money? The very first pie, it's pretty much the same trend every year in terms of national teams marketing. So the pie chart that we have you is how we actually disperse the money across the board, and how we allocate it to the different unions, and it will not differ too much from the next year going forward. I think I've done everything unless somebody has said I haven't repeated on something, but... So we do actually have detailed information on African Black, as that is part of the precondition of our plans, within the target of, which is a defined target within our memorandum of agreement, is generic Black is a defined term and target, but it is then further divided into an African Black target as well, which forms part of the generic Black target, and we do have all of the detailed information to that level as well. Thank you, Madam Chair. I hope I haven't missed anything.
As a chairperson, I must put it up front. This is a fifth parliament. Every parliament, they were talking about transformation. I'm speaking, you cannot be proud of the snake age about transformation. And this committee was very sure that we're not the first committee. And as I'm speaking, we are going to monitor why until 21 years that in government this pace is so slow. I don't want that any of you must be proud of the snake pace of transformation. I'm raising this to your answers. All is not well about the transformation. That's what we are saying. And we're not ashamed of that. And it will be always telling us, but where credit is needed, we'll give you. But you cannot give the credit to us after 21 years that we are still having this question of transformation. We want to tell you that we are not happy about transformation. The way you answer as if all is well with transformation. We are saying we are the fifth committee of the sport. Since 1984, the transformation is not there. And now we are appreciating that you have put plan and that we monitor the plan. I don't know other plans past years why they were not monitored. I don't want to speak about other committee members. When you are saying that transformation is not there 21 years down the line, we are not ashamed of telling you that. And we want to be very harsh in order that you must know that where we are coming from. Most of us, even others, I would say a netball player giving up after 8 times. But now we starting to see very little that the netball is getting there. We have been not having these facilities. We know that we don't have enough money, but I don't want us not to say that transformation is not yet there. And I will say, come 5 years, we'll be with you, assisting, questioning, critiquing you about the transformation. Honourable members, I wanted to say that because the answer of the transformation, we do appreciate what they are doing, but I must emphasize 21 years of the Democrats in sport that were still saying that you are going to monitor. I don't know almost what they were doing past years when you were not here. When they were not monitoring you. Because, you know, we are proud of you telling us that you are going to do ABC and we'll monitor that. Let me take this opportunity to close this meeting with dignity. Your unions were satisfied that come 5 years we'll be getting what they've presented to us, and we are happy that you are committing yourself in front of us until finishing 5 years. If you're still going to be alive, we cannot not emphasize the transformation, but thanks that you have a plan. I'm proud of that. And that plan will manage. And the minister has told us what he's going to do if we are not doing anything. But all is not well. I don't want that we must portray as if when you are complaining about the transformation, as if we're not supposed to. All is not well 21 years down the line. But we are pleased that we have a plan in front of us, and we will monitor and we will assist. The unions here, they are crying of their challenges. Together, we can do more. The meeting is closed. I thank you.